It's a fact. Pot hurts. That's why we don't do pot.
You just don't feel in control.
You know you did something stupid, but you don't remember what.
It just makes you lazy.
You forget things. You really do.
It's kind of scary, and you really feel alone.
It's a fact. Pot hurts.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Michael Rosso here in the Alternative Cinema Studio for the April 2012 AC Podcast. We have a pretty hip and happening show.
Yeah.
On this show,
this episode,
myself, Michael Rosso, John Fedeli,
over here,
William Hellfire,
not here yet.
Aaron Russ.
With him not here yet.
I got a really, got over the flu.
Yeah, you sounded
big
horrible.
Big time. So if you hear some, like, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be coughing up fish bones.
Yeah.
Ever since I've known you, you've been drawing those little cartoons where, like, guys are coughing up a fishbone or something.
Absolutely.
That's exact. When you do those horrendous coughs, that's what I picture, a fishbone just jutting out from the back of your
throat. I still do it. I have a, you know, I have a daytime. You know, it's like, it's a book, and you have, like, the whole month mapped out.
Yeah, you start doodling.
And if someone's sick, like Jeff sick, I draw, like, Jeff sick, exclamation point, and I draw a little guy with his mouth wide open with, like, drops a fishbone, and sometimes like a drumstick, and then on the ground like a pool.
Yuck! Yeah. Is there like a little drop coming off his chin?
When someone's ill, I'll call him. Hey man, how you doing?
Did like, you puke?
Yeah. Throw up?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So welcome everyone. This is the podcast for people who like cult movies. Mm-hmm. Indie flicks.
Mm-hmm.
I would say movies that are of the fantastic.
Mm.
And that could be fantastically good.
Or bad.
Or fantastically bad.
Or science fiction, or dramas, or comedies, or horror, or whatever you
it's
got.
It's just offbeat.
Right.
Yeah, this is the place.
Mirror, see?
Yeah.
Mirror.
So this episode, we're going to have news.
Yeah?
Aaron is going to bring us a calendar events.
Yep. Oh, what do you mean? Like calendar of events?
Yeah, like, hey, this is happening on this date.
Oh, I thought she was going to bring a calendar of her.
No, there is no Aaron Russ calendar.
Well, let me be the first in line for that when it happens.
This is great because Aaron Russ listens to the AC Podcast. Oh. Not only is she our number one listener.
Number one.
But she's also a guest on the show.
Is that right?
Which means, like, she's not here, so we're talking about her.
So she'll find out soon enough that she needs to get her butt in gear and get a calendar going.
Well, I was thinking... We could do next year an AC calendar, you know, heavy on the Russ.
Nobody wants to see me on a calendar.
Maybe 1 month.
No, I doubt it.
No?
I doubt it. Not unless I'm coughing up a chicken bone or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could, like, we'll take pictures and you can animate them.
There's going to be news. And this is from Aaron, Confessions of a Female Pothead.
Really?
I'm thinking that maybe way back when,
smoked a little herb.
Maybe a lot of herb.
Oh.
We're going to find out.
Okay, cool.
We're going to have music reviews.
Yeah.
X-Train, ever hear of them?
No.
Blue Cheer.
Extreme, yeah, Blue Cheer I heard of.
Contact Low. We've been talking about Contact Low every episode, but we never play a clip.
Why not?
I always have problems downloading it.
Oh, stoops.
The Reefer Man, 20 Great Reefer Jazz Songs.
Yeah, there was a lot of back in the day. There was like songs about, heroin and pot and boozing it up.
Yep.
There was no censor, so you could say what was actually on your mind.
We're gonna have our DVD reviews. We're going to be reviewing Trippin', which is about pot. It's a brand new feature. Comes out in April.
Oh, yeah?
That's right. On one of our labels.
Pottastic.
It's a Shockorama.
Pottastic.
Or Camp.
This is the podcast.
We're going to be reviewing 555. Man, this is jam-packed. Maybe we're going to be telling some, funny pot stories. You know, I had one, but I forgot it. Right?
Sounds like a joke.
It does.
There he goes. Chicken bone. Chicken bone.
This sounds like chicken bone.
Chicken bone. Chicken bone. So, we want to read some letters, or you got other business?
Well, let me tell you about some stuff that's coming out.
Let me tell you.
This is alternative cinema news. This is pretty exciting because AC, the catalog, it's become the one-stop shop for like everything cult.
Right.
And every few months, we add new labels.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So we just added films from MPI and Dark Sky, and that includes Human Centipede.
Oh, my God,
have
no.
Have you seen that?
No, I don't want to see
it. It's on the Netflix. I'm not going to see it.
Oh, no.
It's too weird.
I don't really think I need to see it.
Human Centipede 2.
Oh, my God, they made a sequel?
Yes.
Why?
They made it in black and white because there's so much blood in it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So it's basically the guy sews people's mouths to other people's a-holes. That's what happens, right?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Oh, my God. Why?
And apparently in Human Centipede 3, which I read on killerreviews.com.
Three? What? Wait a minute.
They're going to sew 500 people together.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. This is a world record, isn't it? They should do it in Times Square.
It's not reality.
I know.
Do it in Times Square. So we're going to be carrying that. House of the Devil. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The original?
Yeah.
Nice.
Visions of Hell. The films of Jim Van Beber.
Wow.
And many more. Also on board, some indie titles by Wild Eye Releasing, Goth Kill, Gold, Blitzkrieg, Escape from Stalag 69, Women's Superstars Uncensored, that's wrestling.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think 42P is involved with that.
Is that right?
I think so.
Didn't John Backus do a wrestling movie?
Women's Bloodbath Wrestling, I don't know.
Bloodbath?
Yeah.
They fight to the death?
I guess. Also, shocking, new to the AC catalog, shocking and controversial films of Beelzebub.
Do you Beelzebub? Know that is? No. Well, it's short for Beelzebub.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, he's supposed to... Beelzebub is the devil, so Beelzebub.
Here's some titles. Breaking Her Will, starring Jackie Stevens of Iron Babe.
Was that right?
Yeah. Jackie gets to wear a ball and gag and gets to eat out of a dog dish.
Wow, lucky her. And get paid for it, barely.
How about this, John? Maybe you've heard of this title.
Yeah.
Ant Farm Dickhole. It's about a guy whose dickhole is like an ant, like ants live in it.
Oh, no.
I think so.
Oh, my God, I hope not. That's fucking horrible.
How about this? This is a movie. Catherine's Pain, I Told You Not to Call the Police.
Sounds like every Friday night in my house.
That's right, yeah.
How about Jesus Christ Serial Rapist?
Oh, man.
That sounds rough, right?
Is nothing sacred with Beelzebub?
Nope.
Apparently not.
How about this? The worst horror movie ever made.
Hmm.
I, you know what? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've seen
recently
quite a few of them.
Yes. How about this? Ravage the Scream Queen.
These are all still Beelzebub?
Yeah.
Wow, he's a very busy little devil.
Bad Acid and Captive Audience.
When are these movies from? Oops, excuse me.
Oh, like the last 5-6 years.
Really?
So all of these films, I mean, they kind of do catch your attention, right?
Sure they do.
They're all available.
I'm sure Bill knows about them. Bill Hellfire knows
Bill
about them.
Bill Hellfire, not Beelzebub?
I'm sure he knows about Beelzebub.
We're also carrying 555. We're going to be reviewing that this episode. This is one of like the
this
camp
episode.
Type, you know, 1980s shot on video. Classics,
oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
The Nazi Demon Shocker, The Devil's Rock. Oh, dude, go to horrorboobs.com.
Horror Boobs?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I went to horrorboobs.com.
Yeah.
I think they should have to change their name.
Why?
Because they're not just boobs. Pretty soon they're going to have to be horrorpuss.com.
Oh, my goodness.
You will see, shockingly, the always gorgeous Brink Stevens and Linnea Quigley.
Mm.
Scroll down.
Hold on. Oh, I spelled boob wrong.
Stoops. AC, Alternative Cinema, is also carrying one of the sleaziest films in Eurosleaze history.
Gosh darn it.
The Sinful Dwarf. You ever hear about that?
No. What's so sinful about him?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, who's this?
Scroll down.
Unhinged, Brink Stevens, ooh, and Linnea Quigley.
Scroll down.
They're sticking their fingers in places.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my goodness.
Which one?
No. Oh.
Bush.
A little bit more.
Who's that? Oh, this is all the same movie?
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness.
Told you.
What movie is that from?
It's not from a movie. It's a magazine layout.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dear God.
So that's not horror boobs.
No.
That's horror puss.
That's horror puss.
Yeah.
Here's Michelle Bauer.
So horrorboobs.com is a website where apparently they're like kind of like the Mr. Skin of horror, specifically horror.
Well, this whole page is just, you know, boobs. Linnea Quigley and Brink Stevens.
Well, I think maybe they're doing like
searching.
Yeah. I think just I think there's been a recent surge.
I think she's looking for her keys. It's like, that's not it.
Of course, you know, in April this month, Trippin' comes out.
Trippin'. Didn't you do another pot movie a little while ago? Something about the werewolf pot smokers or something?
No, it was Bigfoot. Weed Wolf,
yeah.
We didn't release it. It was just
someone
sent it in. So Trippin' is a stoner horror comedy directed by D.V. Snively, documenting the Gray Man. This smart paranormal possession investigation tale from director Wayne Capps.
Mm.
It was praised by Harry Knowles' Ain't It Cool. Do you know who that is? You know what that is?
Yeah, he blew up.
What do you mean he blew up?
He was one of the first website guys to review movies, like a YouTube reviewer. But I guess he had a website. I'm not quite sure. I think it was before YouTube. And he used to be on, I think, when Roger Ebert was getting sick.
He brought him in.
Harry Knowles would sit in, so he kind of became a mainstream reviewer. He was this underground kid, this dweeb, just reviewing movies on his website. And, you know, Hollywood started to take notice of him. So he's kind of, I guess, a popular reviewer anymore.
Yeah, I would say so. Ground Zero.
Mm.
It's a visceral new take on the zombie origin genre.
Zombie origin? What, yeah. How zombieism started?
I guess.
Injection. Rabid monkeys.
Hey, I'm very happy about this. The Inga, Joe Sarno Inga discs.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Joe Sarno's birthday just passed in March.
Mm. He would have been, what, 84?
Joe was 84 when
he
produced...
died?
Suburban Secrets.
He was?
Yes, that
was
no idea. 2004.
God bless him. He would have been 90 something or another.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's funny to watch you count on your fingers.
No, he would have been 92.
Wow.
Yeah.
He died, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Joe Sarno died in April.
Mm-hmm.
And the year he died, I saw him and we took him out for lunch in January.
Yeah.
3 months. I mean this sincerely. The guy had more energy than me. I always said that.
In January.
And always.
Yeah.
But in January, he was almost 90. And, you know, because we were in pre-production on another film. We have a script.
Right.
And, you know, I would go into the city. I would meet with talent.
Mm-hmm.
Joey K was like line producing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be worn out by the time I got to Joe's apartment. And many times we'd go out to eat.
Right.
And he would be out walking me, like on the streets of New York. He had a cane.
Come on, Mike.
He was like, psh, 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 psh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. More energy than me.
He was a go-getter. Yeah. You know why? He was probably one of those guys who was always thinking, if he wasn't working, he was always thinking about working or writing or doing something.
Yeah, Joe Sarno loved to be making a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had the experience working with him.
He was so fucking happy. I can't tell you how
happy
he was.
More so than me. Like, I was in pre-production, but once production started, you were there every day.
Yeah.
Slept
in the same room with him.
You did?
Yeah. He was in a room off of the main room.
Okay.
He actually had
his own suite.
He had, door to close. Meanwhile, I slept with all the rabble.
So you have good vibes from that show.
Oh, absolutely. He was really happy and really appreciative. And he would say at the end of the day, he'd always praise everybody and tell everybody what a great job they did. And he'd say, I mean it. This is one of the best film crews, if not the best crew I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because he was enthusiastic, so it made us all enthusiastic.
Well, you guys were a good professional crew.
Yeah, we were. At that point, I think we were a pretty well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Tony was DPing, and I was his gaffer, and I think that was maybe our second or third film together, so we really knew what was going on with each other, and the audio was all together. We had Brian there, right?
Which Brian?
The African-American gentleman.
No, his name wasn't Brian.
What was his name?
His name was Ken.
Ken!
Yeah.
Awesome dude.
Yeah.
Very good guy.
Yeah.
The audio... the whole crew was just tight, and we had fun at night, man. Woo!
You guys had like a whole craft services spread.
Yeah,
you had a kitchen like stacked with like cold cuts.
Yeah,
who was that? I guess Christina was in charge with that.
Yeah, probably.
Well, she did a good job.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It really was.
Meatloaf again.
At least it wasn't pizza again.
Yeah,
but yeah, we were up in Pennsylvania. We took over A B&B, I guess.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a bed and breakfast.
It's a blip it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
So folks out there who don't know Joe Sarno, please do look up and check out one of his films. AlternativeCinema.com carries practically all of them that are released.
Right. That are known.
That are known. I mean, we know them all, but many are lost. So the Inga films, you know, they came out in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and they're out of print.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, we're taking the two Inga films, Inga, mm-hmm. 1967, and Seduction of Inga, 1969,
right.
and a boatload of extras and, you know, alternate versions, mm-hmm. we're putting out as the Inga collection.
Well, would that be a good introduction to people?
Absolutely.
To Joe Sarno, I mean?
Yes.
So, there you have it.
That was the end of his black and white period.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Getting towards the end of his black mm-hmm. and white period. By 69, it was color.
These were both American-produced films, or?
Well, most people think that the Inga films are Swedish films.
Right.
And they are. They're made in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
In the Swedish language.
Really?
Yes. Oh. But that was a ploy initiated by the producers, who were mm-hmm. American producers in New York, who wanted to bring in foreign art films.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get away with showing all the tits and ass.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
So they hired, people think Joe's Swedish. No. They hired New Yorker Joe Sarno.
Well, I always thought he was Swedish.
Yeah, most people do.
When I first met him.
But he was from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Hired Joe.
He's as Brooklyn as it comes.
Sent him to Sweden with his mm-hmm. wife, Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they loved Sweden so much, they became summer residents
yeah.
every year.
Yeah.
And, of course, they speak Swedish.
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
Good for smart people.
Yeah.
Oh, I speak Swedish too.
Yeah. And they shot a boatload. They went back.
Yeah.
They went to Denmark to do Swedish Wildcats.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
Indelicate Balance is a bonus feature shot in 69.
On the Inga?
It's on the Inga, yeah. It's awesome.
Is this going to be nicely priced too?
Yes. I don't have the price here, but it's coming out in the summer and it's going to be nicely priced.
$10.
No. It's going to be 3 discs.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
$10.
All right, $12.
And really quick, before we take a break, to usher in the Russ and...
The Hellfire.
Hellfire, who are in our green room. I would say blue room right now.
Yeah.
Blue room.
Blue room.
In our green room right now, enjoying, you know, the craft services we have in there.
What? Dust balls?
New and upcoming releases from Blue Underground and Synapse.
Mm.
Intruder.
Intruder alert.
This came out in the 80s. I remember Intruder.
Fishbone.
I think this is a Scott Spiegel film. Do you remember Scott Spiegel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about a deranged killer on loose in a grocery store. I remember talking to Scott in like the 90s. Nicest
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he did a lot of voices on Evil Dead. Like, he's very involved.
He did voices on Dead Next Door, didn't he?
Yeah. He's in Dead Next Door.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it, and he does his own voice.
Right.
And other voices.
Right. Yeah, he was involved a lot in the post-production of that movie.
Yeah.
With Bruce Campbell.
Night Train Murders. This notorious Italian shocker was also released as Second House on the Left, New House on the Left, and Torture Train.
Torture Train.
Schoolgirl Report number 8. The next installment of the infamous pseudo-documentary series from Impulse Pictures.
Hmm.
Thou Shall Not Kill, Except. That's what it's called. The exploitation action classic from the people who brought you The Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. No kidding.
Really? No
probably
kidding.
The producers, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? Listen to this.
Okay.
Camp Motion Pictures, Retro 80s Night at Brooklyn's Spectacular Theater, located at 124 South 3rd Street, Brooklyn.
Is that true?
Yeah.
When?
Friday, April 27th, midnight screening of Camp Motion Pictures' Cannibal Campout.
No kidding.
Yeah, how about that?
That's fun.
That is fun. I'll tell you, man.
The original camp.
Oh, our camp.
Your camp. Yeah. Okay.
Cannibal Campout from the 80s.
Oh, Cannibal Campout.
Yeah.
From the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I'll tell you, people who live in Brooklyn, always like young punks, they got the life, man.
Yeah, they don't know it.
You guys, listen. You need to enjoy it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I mean, when I was your age, I had my own apartment too, but I was in Lodi.
Yeah.
Not good.
And to go anywhere cool, you had to get in your car or ride on public transportation for an hour.
That's right. There you have it. We're going to take a quick break.
Are we going to do some mail?
Oh, you want to do some mail?
Yeah, let's read some mail.
Hey, I want to tell you guys really quickly
I forgot.
Mail. It's very important we hear from you. I really want to hear from you guys.
You keep just like stopping. Are you okay? Like no, all of a sudden you'll be like, I really just... You just shut down for a second.
Oh, I stop because I don't want to cough.
Oh, okay.
So all I right, regain, like my esophagus has to reset. Right,
I just want to make sure you're not having a brain freeze.
No, no.
Just call the authorities.
We've been getting some mail. I mean, we get a lot more mail than we used to.
Yeah.
We used to get jack shit.
Like one.
Barely.
Yeah. So, and it was just like, send me a catalog.
Yeah. This is from James Hickswa. Would you say that's how you pronounce it? H-I-C-S-W-A. Hickswa.
Yeah.
Could be Hikeswa.
Hickswa.
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 James is from the Graffiti Playhouse Productions, and he sent us a note. First of all, he invited us in March to go see in Washington, New Jersey.
Where the heck is that?
I don't know.
Washington Township, I guess.
Yeah, it's in Morris County.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Blood Lodge.
He was screening a movie, Blood
that's
Lodge?
Right. Our latest film, Blood Lodge, premiered March 3rd in Washington, New Jersey. GraffitiPlayhouse.com, if you guys want to check it out. I'm very interested in hearing from folks out there who are producing like indie movies.
Keeping it alive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys are out there doing it, you know, just out there doing it.
Hopefully having a good time, too.
Yes, have a good time. Some of these letters are I want to save.
Yeah, for what?
For the Russ and for Williams.
Oh, yeah? Why, they're addressed to them?
Some are.
Okay.
This is from Kyle MacLeod. It's a good name.
Kyle MacLeod.
Sounds like a character from like...
Kyle MacLeod, M.D.
No, sounds like something from like Highlander.
Kyle MacLeod. We need to get Kyle MacLeod.
Exactly.
He'll take care of the ghost.
My name is Kyle MacLeod, and I'm very much interested in scoring original music for films.
Oh.
Now, I told Kyle that, you know, first of all, we're not in production right now here, and we kind of have our own in-house thing going on. But if folks out there need music for your movies...
Contact Kyle.
Yeah, soundcloud.com/KyleMacLeodMusic. I'm going to spell that. soundcloud.com/Kyle, KyleMacLeodMusic. Got that? Good.
Yeah, the SoundCloud, everybody's up there.
SoundCloud's pretty good.
Yeah.
You go there?
Yeah. Kevin, we have Pink Delicate stuff up there.
Free?
Free.
Oh, what kind of stuff you got free?
Just some new stuff.
Poop stories.
No, poop stories.
We'll save this.
Oh, another poop story?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we'll save this one.
No letters for me, huh?
You know what? No one's mentioned you lately.
Okay.
I have a handwritten letter.
Mmm.
This is from Dan Domi.
Dan Domi?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, he's Mr. Analog, I guess. So, yeah, it makes perfect sense,
right?
I guess it does.
I think that
Dan
really likes indie, sci-fi, things like that. Right, Dan?
He probably liked the movie Pi, right, Dan?
Oh, I saw the trailer on YouTube. Like, yeah. I was just searching stuff, and, like, the trailer was in the sidebar.
Yeah.
I played it, and I'm like, oh.
Made you sick.
I can't handle it.
It's a good movie.
I don't know how
that makes you sick. It's
very claustrophobic.
Yes.
And the guy, he basically kills himself in a sense that he has opportunities. Remember the pretty neighbor?
Right. Yeah, he blows that.
His friend with the wild hair is like, you gotta stop.
Yeah.
it was just too much.
It's an intense movie.
What I love about Dan's letter is this is a handwritten letter.
Let's see, I'm sorry,
typed.
Oh, it is typed. Look at that typewriter. That makes perfect sense for Dan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's a nice retro typewriter.
So listen, folks out there listening, if you would like to send us a letter, an actual letter, P.O. Box 152, Butler, New Jersey, Alternative Cinema Podcast. Just write Alternative Cinema Podcast, and it will get to us.
Chicken bone.
You see, this is really, I should really save this, but I'll read it. Dear Michael, John, William, and the Russ. William is W.M. period.
Old school.
Ha! Did you ever think that I would be writing to the Alternative Cinema Podcast, of all things?
Nope. You got me, Dan.
For folks out there listening, Dan is a diehard film photography podcast listener and regular contributor.
And he's a hell of a photographer.
Ooh!
Are they here?
All right, we'll take a quick break. Hey, this is Michael Rosso from the Alternative Cinema Podcast here to tell you about KillerReviews.com. That's right, KillerReviews.com. Greg Dumont, you know, our pal, Greg. KillerReviews.com and the Killer Reviews podcast. That's right. Fans of the AC podcast will love the Killer Reviews podcast. KillerReviews.com. Reviews, blogs, a forum, Film Finder, the KR Store, Girls of Horror, the
Graveyard, Interview, Articles, Horror Arcade.
Should I go on and on and on? If you like cult movies, spooky horror, or girls in bikinis, KillerReviews.com. The podcast, the site, be there. KillerReviews.com. Check it out.
Hiya, Mr. Flintstone.
Greetings, Rocky, my boy. Pack of Winstons, please.
Oh, you like them Winston cigarettes, huh, Mr. Flintstone?
But of course, they really got something.
You bet your life. Folks who really enjoy smoking know it's what's up front that counts. And that's where Winston steps out ahead of the crowd with their exclusive filter blend. Choice golden tobaccos, specially selected and specially processed for filter smoking.
Hold it, hold it!
What you mean?
What are you pitching Winston's at me for? You know I never smoke nothing else.
Just practicing, Mr. Flintstone. Everybody knows that...
Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should.
Yeah.
See you soon, Rocky.
The Flintstones has been brought to you by Winston, America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Hey, we're back.
Hey.
Hey, we're back.
Missed you.
We got Williams. Say hi. Oh, say hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
And the Russ.
The Russ.
Yay. Hello, boys and ghouls.
Yes. Oh. We were just talking, you know, walked in, they got settled, I got drinks for everybody.
Some nuts.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I didn't bring it next time. Next podcast.
Yeah.
Over at the office, I have the Uncle Henny's spiced ginger ale.
Ugh. Spiced ginger ale.
This is Henry Kudo. He makes his own ginger ale.
Does he
kitchen.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Spiced, though. Was he spicy?
Well, you get regular.
Hot pepper.
It's hot. It's like, yeah, it's jalapeno.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Is it
really good?
Good. Is it?
Yeah. It's good with whiskey, he said.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's hardcore, that Henry.
That's pretty awesome.
And when he was on the last podcast, and I couldn't even believe, like he told me, because, you know, he's a ukulele player, yeah, puts out albums.
Yeah.
He does, he performs live, gets shit thrown at him.
Nice.
And now he's like brewing his own stuff. And he's like online, takes credit card. I mean, like.
Wow, he's got a whole biz going.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uncle, just Google search Uncle Henny's ginger ale.
And it's good.
It. Yeah. I was a little concerned, you know, because like the health codes.
Yeah.
You don't want to find like a hair.
Yeah.
You know,
just imagine
or like a roach leg.
Or a chicken bone.
Yeah,
Henrik
exactly.
Looks like the kind of guy that would mix up like bathtub LSD.
Yeah, so with that crazy mustache.
Yeah, like dose.
That's funny because the way total, he doesn't drink or do drugs.
No.
He's a total straight edge.
Total straight edge.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Good man.
Back to our letter, John.
Back to your letters.
Here is a typed letter sent in.
Oh, that's
cool.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, now that is really cool.
This is from Dan Domi. He's in Pennsylvania. Dear Michael, John, William, and the Russ.
Aww.
I thought I'd let you know that your podcast has a great value to me, despite the fact that you discuss movies that I only have marginal interest in.
And honest, to boot.
Numerous people, yourself included, have informed me of the dangers of getting into a world of campy, sleazy horror films.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I know this guy. And I said to him, like,
he has an addictive person. I'm like, addictive personality.
I'm like,
Dan, you don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dan, no.
You should take a pass on that.
I've grown to love the nerdy yet fiercely devoted and appreciative community of fans that have supported the genre for, evidently, years and years.
Yes.
You know me as a member of a similarly obsessive community of camera and film geeks, but the passion is the same in both tribes. While I don't know 99% of the movie titles you mention, and I doubt I ever will see them for fear of awaking soulless 15 years down the road.
You'll awake soulless and in your mother's basement.
Yes.
Yeah. Any community of fans of a particular art form has my support. And how lucky they are to have a podcast released monthly by none other than Michael Rosso.
Yeah.
A rare combination of art lover and professional businessman.
Businessman! Mr. Businessman!
In summary, screw anyone who piles on hate and derision to the community of horror enthusiasts. Right, screw them with a thorny demon cock.
Damn, letting it all hang out.
Looking forward to my next trip to New Jersey. Ha! For your other podcast,
mm-hmm.
whenever that trip may be. Sounds like Dan may qualify for this one.
Yeah, why not? Pretty soon.
He would sit here all uncomfortable. Maybe I'll even get a chance to meet William and Erin, who seem like swell people I'd get along with quite well.
Swell. Aww. Just swell people.
Oh, and before I forget, I want to pick up a copy of The Basement soon.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the brilliant medium of Super 8 film.
Yes.
Sorry if this has been hard to read. No, not at all.
No.
Typewriter ribbons are getting hard to find.
Yeah, oh,
I think maybe he thinks that we could read typewriter.
It looks a little light.
Yeah, it could be like a different language.
I thought for a second there you had one of those.
Are you sure?
With the O's that punches through the paper instead
yeah.
of.
Oh, can you tell? Yeah, yeah. Is it typed or is it just printed out? Is it typed in the computer and printed out?
No,
if it's Deputy Dan.
It's crossed out.
It's like Braille.
Here's a letter. It says, Dear Penthouse Forum.
What?
You'll never believe what happened to me last night. It's truly unbelievable, yet true. I'm the night watchman at the Museum of Natural History. It was a few hours after closing, and I was in the forest exhibit. Out of nowhere, four curvaceous brunettes asked me to check out their beavers. To say I was overjoyed, what a colossal understatement. Did I mention that the four women looked like Marissa Tomei, Carla Gugino,
mm-hmm.
Melinda Clark, and Laura Graham? Well, they did. They were dressed in stilettos, nylons, and glossy pink lipstick. Hello, ladies. Those are some great outfits you're wearing, I said. They did not reply. Instead, they threw me to the ground and proceeded to, holy crap, I've been sleep writing again. Oh, well, safer than sleepwalking. Sorry about that. I just couldn't resist. I thought it was appropriate since you were talking about Merkins last month. Anyway, I love the February podcast. It was one of the better episodes. Please tell Ms. Russ she has a great voice.
Mm.
Has she ever done voice work such as radio commercials?
That's so cool.
Have you?
No, I have not, but my dad has done voiceover work.
Mm. Well, maybe you should get in the family business.
How's your father?
I would love, thank you for the compliment.
Who's your daddy?
Bill. John, can you read this in an Australian voice?
Oh, right. I'll probably be drifting in and out. I'm so tired. Last from Melbourne, Australia again. Is there any chance William could tell us a story of how he got arrested after making Duck the Carabine High Massacre? I'm
in my notes.
Cheers, Les. Tune in to killerreviews.com.
We, myself, William, and John are guests on the Killer Review podcast.
Oh, that's right.
I think this month.
All right.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. And that is where you know.
You'll find out everything.
You'll find everything.
The whole story behind that and EI and everything.
The whole thing, including Greg Dumont from Killer Reviews, his obsession with Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Which,
strange,
by the way,
obsession.
By the way, I Googled her and YouTube came up. Holy fuck.
You're obsessed with her now, I bet.
No, I'm shocked.
Mm.
She's wearing, first of all, there's a video up there of her buying a car, like checking out an old Mustang.
Uh-huh.
She has a t-shirt on, no bra, and her jugs are just like, you know.
Does Greg know about this?
Greg, you should know about this?
You should.
Then, you think that's shocking, I saw her on stage. Holy fuck. She's in like tight black short shorts,
uh-huh.
A sling, and she's like doing all the like the
yeah.
the ghetto, the pulse, the ghetto. The you know, the you know, the
sex,
the
ass
theater.
Thing,
sex movement.
She's
holy fuck.
She's 18. Dances. She's
she's legal now.
Listen, man, you know what?
That's what you do.
12 states.
That's what you do. She's biologically programmed. To
she
do
looks horribly uncomfortable
it's
doing it.
It's
cannot stop.
She looks unnatural doing it. I think she's forcing it.
Because she just wants to be who she is.
And what does Achy Breaky Heart have to say about this?
I don't think he's a good daddy.
Oh.
No, he doesn't approve.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
I think he went to a magazine. And
I would whip her ass.
Oh, so she's 18, so she's like, fuck you, dad.
Yeah. Fuck you, Achy Breaky Dad.
Well, the reason I'm saying is because, honestly, I know nothing about Miley Cyrus or Banana Montana. Whatever. So I went.
Hannah Montana is her name now.
So I went on to Netflix and they have the Banana Montana movie. And it's like three seasons.
Yeah.
So oh I watched 2 seconds of the first one, and then I went to the last one.
Yeah. See the difference.
Because I want to see him mature.
Right, right, right.
It's on Netflix, yeah.
You had it on your Netflix?
In the streaming
Instant.
Queue.
Instant.
Yeah.
Well, Greg's turned him. It's like, oh, Hannah Montana. I don't know anything about this. Yeah. I mean, this shit. This is kid stuff.
Yeah.
But that's and what's happening.
It's wrong.
That's the world where the world is.
Yeah.
It's something of interest, but nothing to obsess over.
Listen, here, really quick, I'll be very fast. I think Madonna, it suited her. She's like urban from the streets, from New York.
She started out that way.
Yeah, it's like the way it is.
That's the way she was all along.
Miley Cyrus, she seems forced.
Yeah.
What I have to say, and I don't know why I'm getting involved in this pop culture discussion. I feel a little retarded. But if you look at the trend, all these young actresses / singers come from the
Midwest?
Mickey Mouse type Mickey Mouse club, like the Britney Spears and all that. And once they turn 18, then they sell the sex crowd. It's just the job. Like you start out with the cutesy thing for your TV show. And then once you turn 18, you've already got that crowd, and now you have to go for the
because look, your audience is changing.
Males and the
they're all going through puberty, so why not go through it with Hannah Montana?
Exactly,
Hannah Montana banana.
Yeah.
What does the Disney company say about this?
They know it's going to happen.
They do.
Yeah, that's why I think it would be great if she went straight into porn, because then she'd like really corner the market.
Yeah, Mike, you got to get her in a film right away.
It's I have to get her in a film. What do I know about porn?
No, start with softcore.
Oh, okay.
It's a gateway drug.
And then I'll sell her contract to Vivid.
And then she'll end up in Wave.
In a mud puddle in Pennsylvania somewhere.
I think that
Hannah
Montana can't see outside looking in. Clearly, the fame, the money. I mean, shopping for a vintage Mustang, you like just boobs just like hanging out. It's like really necessary. I don't know.
What do you mean necessary? Yeah. It's boobs.
Well, let's put it to Aaron. Would you shop for a vintage Mustang with your
braless?
Braless.
Sure.
Okay. All right, there you go, folks.
Would you like to buy a SUV? Take a look at my cars in the parking lot.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back.
Hey, we've been getting a lot of letters, by the way, you can send it to podcast@alternativecinema.com.
Like, a lot is more than two.
Yes. My name is Courtney Fathom Sell.
It is not.
And I'm an independent filmmaker from the Lower East Side of New York.
All right.
As I've been a fan of yours for quite a while.
That is the gayest ringtone ever. I would not suspect you to have that ringtone.
I love it. I don't
get oh my god!
Who would win?
It's totally. Awesome.
Like we have like a ring, you know, one of those fighting rings, and there's like just a few tools. Like you have like the stick with the spikes sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Bill Hellfire versus Beelzebub.
Oh, I don't know.
Beelzebub would pulverize me.
We're just talking about how. Beelzebub movies coming to AC Catalog.
They're
like Ant Hill. What is that called?
Ant Hill Dick Hole.
Holy fuck. When I read that, I was like, shit.
They're very funny.
Yeah.
Very silly, though. They're not.
Well, then that I think I might want to see them.
I think that William H., maybe like the, what's that, the Davy and Goliath?
Yeah.
Not the early morning, hello, Davy.
Right.
The story, the biblical story.
The big guy and the little guy.
Like he'll be ready. He'll be like pounding you into like Beetle Bailey. But then you'll like take like a little slingshot out of your pocket. Yeah. You like think
right in his third eye.
Yeah.
Oh!
You know, this is funny that you should speak about Beelzebub. But Beelzebub went to high school with Matt Eichlin from King Ghidorah, who is Dr. Acula.
No way.
And Beelzebub used to make the underground videos, and in high school they would pass around these videos of them doing crazy stuff
on VHS.
On VHS.
Wow.
And those are out on Bill's label or whatever.
Okay,
so they're very funny. And he also did a Grimoire magazine, which is like he interviews heavy metal guys.
Yeah
But he would like make fun of the heavy metal guys and they would get very frustrated. It's very funny. He's a very hilarious cat. It's a cool cut.
Oh, very good.
We'll have to check out Ant Hill Dick Hole.
Let's check out Ant Hill Dick Hole.
Okay, back to Courtney Fathom Sell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an independent filmmaker from the Lower East Side of New York. I've been a fan for a while. And I wanted to write, introduce myself and my work, and let you know about an upcoming DVD release of some of my most recent films. Through my production company, Ass Studios.
Ass?
A-S-S.
Oh, Cool.
Your butt.
Which founded by Reverend Jen, artist Reverend Jen. Mm-hmm. We have produced and directed a series of films, including The Sinful Bitches, The Bitches of Bowery, and Killer Unicorn.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like that Garbage Pail Kid card.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's good.
The films will be released worldwide on May 22nd, and we are currently beginning to screen them theatrically around the country. The films star a variety of underground film legends, including Face Boy, that's Lord of the Cock Rings, and Electra Elf. I guess that's what he's in. He's been in. Reverend Jen, who is in Terra Firma.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe this is Jen from Terra Firma.
Yeah, that's the Lloyd Kaufman movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Richard Pritchard, Toxic Avenger and Class of Nukem High.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get in touch with you guys regarding the possibility of speaking about this work, either on the AC podcast or blog. It would be so wonderful to work beside you guys. Wow. How nice.
That's very sweet.
Very cool.
And helping promote an upcoming release would be more than happy to talk about all the sleazy, slightly illegal, and sexy experiences we have had while making these movies. I have attached a link to our website as well as a link to the official trailer of the DVD. If you have any questions, please get in contact. Courtney Fathom Cell Ass Studios. You can go to CourtneySell.com, CourtneySell.com. See, I thought Reverend Jen was connected to Zed somehow.
I think one of those
Zed.
Movies was...
Nick Zed.
Zed is dead, yeah. Man. What movie is that?
Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
There you go.
Here's one from Ben. Poop stories.
Yay.
It's our last letter. I'll
shit right through it.
Yeah. I'm going to shart right through it.
Diarrhea through it.
Take a sip.
Okay. Yeah, get ready for this.
Poopy milky goodness.
You almost caught me there.
He's drinking coffee substance.
Mocha. Hey guys, I've been loving the podcast quite a while now. The poop stories have been a nice touch. I'd like to share mine.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't involve me directly. I once worked at a restaurant, and the chef there told me this story. One Saturday, he went to lunch in a neighboring city with some friends, and the drive home proved physically challenging. He started getting diarrhea cramps midway home, and it came in waves.
Oh.
That is, each wave, the cramp was much worse than the last.
It's horrible.
I've had that before. It really is horrible.
Erlyn, you look thoroughly disgusted already.
Well,
he
made it back to our city and was about to turn onto the main highway that led to his apartment. Relief was in sight, but then he got the worst cramp yet as he approached a red light. But it wasn't just a normal red light. It had a traffic cop stopping cars because of the Children's Science Discovery Museum was having its opening ceremony parade.
Oh, dear. Stuck in a parade for children.
He unwillingly had a front row seat during this moment of weakness. Okay, he thought, this wouldn't be so bad. He could do this. I mean, how long could this parade be, right? A bunch of kids, maybe a fire truck or two. Well, he soon realized that his fate when he saw that the Shriners and the local school marching bands were involved.
Oh, no.
This could be a long one. So the waves of cramp started to get more rapid, more intense, until he just couldn't hold it anymore.
Oh, no.
He needed relief.
Oh.
This relief came
as
a clown driving a mini a mini semi truck go-kart circled his car.
That's a nightmare.
No kidding.
This is like a therapy session.
He swore right then and there. When he started crapping his pants, the clown tapped on his passenger side window, waved, and placed a sucker under his windshield wiper.
Oh, my God.
A sticker, I guess. And placed a sticker under his windshield wiper. The parade wasn't over yet. He had to sit in his own poop while the local middle school marching band played Money Money.
Oh, my God.
And the kids threw candy at his car.
I wish I could have seen the look on his face.
He said that while horrible, it was a humbling moment. It was a humbling moment in his life. We all got a kick out of this at the restaurant for days on end.
Oh my
he
God.
Actually brought the sucker that was placed under his windshield. I guess it is a sucker.
Yeah, a lollipop.
We put it in the office and referred to it as the poop sucker. We ended up giving it to a new server named Darren that we all hated.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I love the release of The Basement. And tell Aaron I just ordered pork chop.
All right.
Pork chop.
Me and my fiance built a drive-in theater behind our house a few years ago.
No way.
And I'm thinking we'll show it to our friends this summer.
Cool.
Nice.
One question. What movies would you guys recommend that we screen at our homemade drive-in? It's behind our house near the woods and pretty isolated. We use a DVD projector so we can project nearly anything you guys are involved in. I'd love to hear your recommendations. Well, clearly it's dickhole, anthole. What is it?
Anthole, dickhole.
Anthole, dickhole. I don't know what's going on.
Well, the basement, the pork chop.
Yeah.
Shock Festival.
Shock Festival trailers would be really actually perfect.
Shock Festival.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many releases.
How about saved Hitler's brain?
You got to try and find Octoman.
Octoman.
Yeah, Octoman needs to be in your backyard.
This is from Ben from Tennessee.
Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes. That was funny.
Oh, yes. Now, before we get to the Rust news, really quick, it has been so long that I've held a actual Fangoria in my hands.
Mm.
This was given to us.
This is
Michael Gingold.
A new one?
This is brand new.
Oh, cool.
And Paige brought it from Monster Mania.
Mm.
And I went through it. I mean, really, I haven't held a Fangoria forever. And I just like marked off a few quick pages. First of all, I thought maybe, John, this would be funny if you get for your kids. It's called the Ultimate Wound Kit.
Oh, nice.
You like make up your kid like as a horrible wound, like maybe during recess at school, and you send the kid back into the classroom.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It would be great, right?
Bring him to school like that, and I say, "No, don't do that again. Get in there."
They'd probably put you in jail.
They would. They would take
you
as
a terrorist.
Teacher would faint on the floor.
I just want to tell some folks about some stuff. Like in Indianapolis, if anyone's there, that's in the Midwest.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people there.
Yeah, July 6th through 8th, there's Days of the Dead convention. John Waters is going to be a guest, along with Kane Hodder, David Prowse, Bill Moseley, Gunnar Hansen, and a bunch of other, Edward Neal, Marilyn Burns. That's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre gang.
Okay.
Is Edward Neal, is he the Polaroid camera guy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
You would go to daysofthedead.net. Look at this. This is written by Boris Randall.
Yeah, Boris's article came out.
Save the Evans City Chapel.
All right, Boris.
You heard it here first on the AC podcast.
That's right.
This is some shack that's in the Evans City graveyard where they filmed Night of the Living Dead.
It's going to save it.
Apparently, it's crumbling. And I just want folks out there, if you want to help save it, they want to rebuild it, you go to facebook.com/groups/save the chapel. So, and if you pick up Fango number 312, April, mm-hmm. you'll see this nice one-page article. You know Boris?
Yeah.
It must be nice to be published like that, huh?
Yeah,
it's very cool.
Yeah.
Boris.
On the page next to it, there's a big synapse thing. AC carries this. Thou shall not kill except.
Yeah, we just said that.
From the producers of The Evil Dead. Well, I'm just saying, it's a big ass ad.
Yeah.
And of course, my favorite ad from this issue that William knows about. Oh my God.
Dracula?
Look at that, John. And Aaron. Terror of Dracula.
Wow.
Look at that, huh? Epic.
What? Wow. Did you go to newdraculamovie.com?
Yeah, I went to the site. They got like a trailer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We're very excited.
That's a new Dracula movie?
It says Bill Bossert presents a film by Anthony D.P. Mann. And Anthony D.P. Mann as Dracula.
Uh oh. Dracula.
Starring and directing?
Yeah.
Double threat.
Wow.
Do you think he's like,
yeah.
Okay, right. Now walk in.
Yeah. Ah! Talking to himself. Yeah.
But this is beautiful one-page
behind-the-scenes
retro ad. I mean, look at that.
Yeah, it's a very cool ad.
Yeah, very cool ad. And you can go to newdraculamovie.com.
Dracula.
It says, available online for in limited edition DVD.
Hi.
I think it's going to be competing with the Dracula 3D.
Whoa! Look at this. There's a two-page, three-page spread, Notes from the Underground. Written by D.V. Stively, who did Trippin'.
Oh, that's
no, no
right.
Kidding.
Yeah, and there is D.V. Look at her.
Hi, D.V.
Look at her.
Hi, D.V. How are you?
Yeah. Just hanging out with a beret, making indie films.
Right.
Got Cam Motion Picture putting them out.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
That's great.
We're going to be talking about that, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And last but not least, going through Fangoria. Oh, look at this. Hey, look at this.
Look at this.
Mayhem Festival. Look at that full page ad featuring Slipknot, Slayer, Anthrax.
Mm.
As lay dying, asking Alexandria.
As I lay dying.
It's like the Joe Frank show.
As lay.
Joe Franklin show?
Yeah. This terrific band, Asley Dying. They're excellent. One of my new favorite bands.
Witch Crab. And I saw this.
Witch Crab.
High on Fire. You mentioned them, right?
Witch Chapel. High on Fire. Wearing
Look at that.
Wearing their t-shirt.
Witch Chapel.
That's why I noticed this set. I saw, you know, High on Fire.
Yeah. They're good cats.
Of course, it doesn't say jack shit about where it is.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't say. You have to go to rockstarmayhemfest.com.
I've seen Slayer and Anthrax.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
It's all that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
They said excitedly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, there's a lot more in this magazine, but I can't talk about it now because, you know, we got other things
to do. Yeah, we got shit to do.
Well, quick break. Quick break. Okay.
This program is brought to you by Alternative Cinema, your online source for independent DVDs and video dedicated to the enjoyment of independent and underground movies that range from the brilliant to the bizarre and everything in between. AlternativeCinema.com.
Hey, we're back.
Hold on, I gotta fix my mic. I think it's drooping. I need old. This mic stand needs some Viagra.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for our calendar events and news with the Russ.
All right. Okay, so Chiller Theater will be held on April 27th through the 29th.
Whoa.
You guys going?
Yeah, we're going to go.
Definitely. All 3 days or no?
No.
Friday night. Mike, are you going to go with us Friday?
I need to go.
I think so.
Yeah. I should wear a monster mask.
You should wear it.
Just look down.
You should wear a top hat and a cape.
Just
like,
don't shave for a couple of days.
All right, maybe.
That would be good. Don't shave.
You have to shave.
Shave half your face.
No, just shave your beard, then you walk around the mustache.
Mike looks a little bit like an Ewok right now. He's got that
Ewok
thing going. It's good.
I haven't been chilling in like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't been there in forever.
I mean, we go as a studio. Like Paige is
You're
there.
Still going this year?
Justin is there. But myself and Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, I look at it as shifts. Like Jeff and I did like the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Now it's Justin and Paige's turn.
So Alternative Cinema will have a table there. So feel free to stop by and purchase some DVDs.
Get some basement.
Yeah. My personal recommendations include Shock Festival.
Yeah.
Pork Chop.
Yes.
Pork Chop.
The Devil's Bloody Plaything.
Oh, yes.
Orgasm Torture and Satan's Rape Clinic.
Your butt.
And The Basement. X-Fest will take place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on April 29th.
X-Fest.
Oh. What goes on there?
It's 7 secret exploitation films.
Oh, wow.
And they'll be shown on 35mm or 16mm.
Wow.
And you can get your tickets at... Are you okay, Mike?
Chicken bone.
I was eating dried peanuts.
I told you. See, they got me too.
Salt peanuts.
Okay. Dizzy. Advanced tickets are available at exhumedfilms.com. And Hudson Horror will take place in Poughkeepsie, New York on May 19th.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Advanced tickets are available at hudsonhorror.com.
What's happening with Hudson Horror?
Movies include Phantasm, Day of the Dead,
Ooh, fun.
Friday the 13th, The Legend of the 7 Golden Vampires,
Ooh.
And a secret movie. All movies are on 35mm film.
Yeah.
I bet the secret movie is Herbie the Love Bug.
I don't think so. Last time it was Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla.
That vampire, that's the one the music's like... I haven't seen all the Chinese vampires?
Yeah,
like
Chinese vampires. I don't think I've seen this.
Oh, you haven't seen
this
it?
This is Hammer Horror's Kung Fu vampire movie.
You haven't seen it? Shaw Brothers.
Yeah, Shaw Brothers.
You going?
Yeah.
What state is it in?
Poughkeepsie,
New York.
Far.
No.
No, not that far.
Really?
No. 45 minutes? Oh, no, hour. About an hour.
You've been?
Yeah, we've been three times?
Yeah, we've been attending them ever since the second one.
We love it.
So, you know.
You laughing?
Yeah. What are you laughing for?
I don't know.
They showed Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla.
I just saw that. No, what did I say? I saw Godzilla vs. Monster Zero.
Oh, that's great where he does great. The dance.
It's great.
They take him.
Insane right, movie.
Upset.
Oh, what's it called?
Godzilla vs. Monster Zero. It's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. First time?
It's
also called Monster Zero. Yeah. That's like one of the, that's like the classic. One.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's one. Planet X is short of water.
Yeah, it's from
not worth a hill of beans.
Ghidorah.
Yeah, King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
hiding behind Jupiter.
I took snippets from that movie and edited it into weddings that I shot.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
I used to shoot, like, you know, when you shoot weddings, you shoot, like, the cocktail hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, all you hear is like, like,
oh, you would put the audio.
So when I cut to a close-up, there was, like, a shot of a guy, like, he turned his head, started talking. I put, like, near his ear, it's like, Planet X is short of water.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. You gotta find that.
And a woman, she starts talking, I dub Japanese line in.
No.
Yeah.
Did they ever say anything?
Yeah, of course.
People, did they laugh or?
I did a Barry Martin's, it wasn't a wedding, it was like an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
He laughed.
Yeah, he thought it was funny. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
Oh, that's a great movie, man.
It is. My wife likes campy stuff too, so she didn't want me to put it. It was either an Abbott and Costello movie or that one, and we opted for the Godzilla movie.
She was skeptical.
Did Little Mites like it?
No, they were in bed.
Oh,
I thought it might be too scary.
You gotta show the Little Mites. They'll love it.
I gotta pre-screen everything.
Yeah.
You don't think it's a little too violent?
No.
I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I explained to John, you know, I'm not a father, but I gave him some fatherly advice for his kids. I'm like, listen, John.
Yeah.
Because he shows them all sorts of like peaceful stuff, like Elmo type stuff.
Sort of. When they watch dinosaurs rip each other apart.
Kindergarten, first grade, heavily into Godzilla.
Yeah, me too.
And in the courtyard at recess, kids, we would play Godzilla.
Of course.
All violent and shit.
Yeah.
Like throwing shit over people's heads. Yeah. You know, doing the moves.
That was the original WWF.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's good for kids.
I don't need them trying Godzilla moves on their classmates.
On you.
Four-year-old.
All three of them are going to pretend you're King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Okay, Donnie Green will have a new painting at the Monsterpalooza convention with the guys from the Hyena Gallery. Monsterpalooza, the Art of Monsters, will be held in Burbank, California on April 13th through the 15th at the Burbank Airport Hotel and Convention Center. Tickets are available at monsterpalooza.com.
Where? Where? What? Like what state?
I said Burbank, California.
Oh,
you are just
no. He got distracted because I wasn't talking in the mic. And
I was looking at the levels.
You're pulling a Bill. Bill often gets excited and sits back and talks.
Oh, is this news?
Announcements?
Calendar events? News?
I just went over calendar. This is
the baseball team will be playing a home game today versus Lakeland High School. Game starts at 3.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Okay.
There will be no smoking of pots allowed at the game. Or anywhere on school property.
That's not funny.
I don't know. I was going to say, I think what's happening with me is, because you said, oh, Mike, you know what? I think I'm having the male version of menopause.
Why? You're just spacing out.
Space out. Then I'm happy. Then I'm like, oh, God, it's hot. Oh, it's hot in here. Then I'm like, oh, happy. Then I'm like,
then
sad.
Confused.
Then I'm sad.
Maybe you're just having a stroke.
Mini stroke. It's caffeine.
Oh, maybe.
Caffeine.
Yeah, caffeine does horrible things.
I'm still in my 40s.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else is going?
Yeah, what's going?
Okay. Four different alternative cinema titles earned nominations for the 2012 TLA Cult Awards.
Really?
No way.
Yeah. The Basement and Uncle Fart's Dirty Movie Theater.
Uncle Fart's.
It's just funny hearing Aaron say that.
Yeah.
For Best Box Set / Value Pack. The Sex Merchants for Best Grindhouse / Exploitation DVD.
Jackie Stevens. Yeah. Oh, you see that one?
No.
Oh, you need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Pork Chop.
Poke Chop.
And Pork Chop for Best Horror DVD.
Yay.
The winners will be announced on April 16th.
Wow. That'll be something.
Really?
Did you smoke?
No, he just drank some coffee.
Scrambled your brain. Caffeine. I haven't.
Oh, that's
it's
had
dangerous.
A coffee.
It's dangerous.
Oh, you drank the whole thing.
I drank this, and today I also had a dark roast from Starbucks.
Oh dear,
Mike
you're
is
done.
Through the roof.
Oh, this is what did it.
What?
The extra strength Excedrin.
Oh, caffeine in that
it's
too.
Loaded with caffeine.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
This one's bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
How does the people got to vote, or what do you got to do?
Where is it?
Online.
Oh, will you tell us next month what the winners are? If we win.
If I'm invited, yes.
Okay. Wait, where do we win?
You're always invited. What do you mean? No, well, like don't ever come back.
Aaron's
here.
Like a vampire. She has to be invited in.
Oh, I see. Every month?
Well, sometimes we don't tape at night.
Oh, okay.
It all depends on the schedule.
That's right.
Severed Lips Recordings is currently being archived at WFMU Freeform Radio, hosted freemusicarchive.org. The FMA has agreed to host the entire Severed Lips Recordings archive of material. William Hellfire ran Severed Lips Recordings from 1992 to 2007, recording various psychedelic and noise rock bands, as well as Factory 2000 soundtracks. All tracks are free to listen to and download and are under a Creative Commons music sharing license, which means you can do whatever you want with it.
Whoa.
Play really? It for your friends while you're doing drugs. Use it as the soundtrack for your shitty movie. You name it.
That's like right out of my mouth. Take drugs. Okay. You know, hey man, use it for your shitty movie.
Grandma's e-card.
Oh my god. Dub it into wedding videos. What have you.
I have a very important announcement to make.
Uh-oh.
William Hellfire is making his directorial comeback with his really? New pornographic film, Death Erection.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Death Erection will star myself as a sexually deviant woman who won't part with her dearly departed corpse, played by William Hellfire.
Oh, dear.
Necrophilia is a widely known taboo, but rarely the subject of erotic cinema, so we decided to corner the market. And here we have a screener to give to Mike Rosso in hopes that we will get a release on the After Hours cinema label.
Wow.
Didn't get any cover art, but we did...
April Fool.
Funny.
I was also going to have some deja vu here.
That was great.
That's so funny.
April Fool.
That was a Russ's idea. Very good. Very good. Well played.
It wasn't that uncommon in the 90s. Yeah. Bill would always
surprise you with a movie.
I mean, these would be like his disc. Oh, back then it was VHS.
Yeah.
And they'd be like bloody tampons.
Oh, dear.
Abortions.
Oh, no.
Wire hanger abortions.
And then, like, the most appalling thing ever, the Vampire Strangler. Like, holy fuck.
I saw that.
I'll never forget the day my ex-wife saw it.
What?
Yeah.
So Vampire Strangler?
I'm like, you gotta see this. And she's like, all like...
Oh, wait, Teenage Strangler or Vampire
Strangler? No, Vampire Strangler. Okay. She was just like, oh.
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 Oh, my.
Yeah. That's,
he was like, I met Bill.
Cute. Oh.
I freaked her out.
I've never seen that side of Bill before.
Be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think I would.
I have to tell you, at first, this was like a roller coaster of emotions. At first, I was like, what? I was insulting. Yeah. It's like, you... directed something and I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
Like the AC audience knows before me. Then halfway through, I'm like, John, I'm like mouthing John, I'm like,
yeah. Oh, is that what you were saying?
Yeah. I'm like, there's no way.
No. Good on you. Good on you, Mike.
But I will tell you this. If this were true, it would be the most shocking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
It would have been.
Yeah, totally shocking because, you know, we're not, you know, this is not 1999 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is 2000 and...
Something.
12.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, we just don't go around and shoot pornos.
Yeah.
No, no.
You know. But what's on this disc?
Nothing.
Oh, no, that's... Some awful...
Dark Rider. That's awful.
That's awful.
Give that back to me
now. Very good.
So, speaking of April Fool's Day, I want to wish David Tati, the coolest motherfucker on the planet, a happy April Fool's Day.
Wow. All right, motherfucker.
That was a shout out for him.
All right.
Yeah. David Tati actually gave us a song for a Factory 2000 movie back when he was like 19. It was Snuff Strangler. He gave us like a techno track, a couple tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
cool.
Been our pal ever since.
Well, I have some news.
Do you?
I don't mean to drop really, really fast.
You made a porno.
This whole, like, you know, whole back of Factory 2000 titles, Paige is really driving. She's like, come on, let's crack these masters
right
open.
On.
Yeah.
And I was holding back because technically, yada, yada, we're going to put a warning up saying that, you know, the quality is the quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking of Infamous Bondage Murders.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, break and control track.
Yeah.
You know, gets a little fuzzy. Zzz. Hey, man.
Nothing you can do about it.
Shot on VHS.
That's the way it's intended.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a lot of things.
On
like,
the edits, right?
Yeah. The edits were made on VHS. Yeah.
You know, a lot has happened in 10, 15 years, John.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day, like everything had to be technically
up to snuff.
Up to snuff. Yeah. These days, it really is like anything goes.
Busting my balls about black levels and shit.
Yeah.
Having monitors on the set and color bars on the monitors and all kinds of shit. Now it's just like, you know, bleh.
In 2012, you're finally going to start seeing Factory 2000 movies coming.
All right.
Wow. That'll be special.
Very cool.
Yeah. That'll be very special. Yeah.
Please, continue.
Oh, well, I'm done with the news. Oh. I just had...
Aren't you popular?
I was just going to talk about 420 and...
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Do your
thing. Let's, I was going to say, let's,
Let's dance. Bum, bum,
bum. Take a quick break.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay.
It's a fact. Pot hurts. That's why we don't do pot.
You just don't feel in control.
You know you did something stupid, but you don't remember what.
It just makes you lazy.
You forget things. You really do. It's kind of scary, and you really feel alone.
It's a fact. Pot hurts.
Do you see anything?
From a planet 50 million miles beyond the stars came a strange message. Lend us your Rodan and Godzilla to fight our Monster Zero. Earth answered. And the most dreaded creatures ever to walk our planet are lifted into outer space. The stage is set for the mightiest battle ever seen by the universe in Monster Zero.
Hey, we're back.
Wow.
Hi.
Hey, I'm refreshed.
Hey, I just want to tell everyone out there about the other podcast called the Killer Review Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That is run by The Butcher, our good friend and new friend, because now we all know him.
Yeah.
We know his deep, dark secrets.
Yeah.
Greg.
Shame on you, Greg. No.
he has a podcast called Killer Reviews Podcast that we are on.
Mm-hmm.
In April.
A whole All special.
Right. Whole special.
It's going to be groovy.
You know, and...
goes through the factory and EI and...
Bill getting arrested.
Right.
Yep.
Handcuffs.
All the juicy.
Yeah, that's why I think Bill and I are very different. I pride myself on not being arrested ever. And I think Bill would, like, lose into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the arrest, get the... You have the real...
Yeah.
What do you call it? Mugshot.
Yeah.
Real. It's like real.
Yeah. Yeah, you they know, do it for real when they arrest you.
It wasn't quite as good as like Nick Nolte's mugshot. Ever see that?
Hey, he's a wreck.
A wreck.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, guys. Oh, I need 3 hours of makeup at least. Yeah. Oh, hell. Yeah.
That's what he always said, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, we're back. Killer Review Podcast, I want to talk about. You know, I always forget to do the shout-outs.
Oh, hell!
The Killer Review Podcast, Greg Dumont.
Yes.
Yeah, it's got an awesome site.
And plus his other website, the website with his cartoons and stuff.
No, Jesus Christ, John. That's Noel Scotch Anderson.
Oh, is it really? All right, you'll have to take that part out.
Goofroof.com.
Yeah.
Really fast. Our comic book is at the printer.
All right.
Yay!
Playmate of the Apes comic book.
Oh, cool. I can't wait.
You're in it.
Oh, I hope so.
You're in it.
It's just at the end. In a loincloth.
You have like 3 frames.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a close up. Justin's in it.
Oh, great.
Wearing like a loinskin.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a Fred Flintstone type loincloth.
Yeah, he did. And this is going to be a comic book DVD combo. It's going to cost
awesome.
$9.30.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
What?
Mike, you're giving it away.
$9.30.
Yeah.
Comic book and DVD.
Amazing.
On alternativecinema.com?
It's going to be on alternativecinema.com.
But
it's also going to be...
For less than $10?
Yep. Yeah. Also going to be nationally at every comic book store via Diamond Comics.
Yeah.
Even at Kevin
crazy.
Smith's?
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
At his Jay and Silent Bob store in Red Bank.
You got to do something down at Zap.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we should dress up in monkey masks. And
get the band together.
Yeah, put the band.
Yeah, everybody play.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, that's so cheap.
Yeah, it's a great package. Has a brand new commentary track, not recorded by any of you guys.
Douche. Yeah. That's so insulting.
There's still time to do it.
All right, so.
I don't know. I don't know, Aaron. Do you
don't
string
me along.
What do I have to do with it?
Who did the commentary track?
I wasn't in the movie.
She was in it?
Me? No. Ed Grant did it.
Oh, you and Ed Grant. Well, no, that's good.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear about me bitching and moaning.
You are DP, director of photography.
That's right.
I mean, you set up the shots. You photographed it.
I did.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
John Fidel is one of my
first full DP gigs.
He photographed, meaning that he is the cinematographer, the guy who looks through the camera. Like, he shot it.
He goes, bring the light over. It's too far away. Bring
That's
it in.
Crazy shit.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah.
It Must is have crazy. Been hot.
Not as hot for the poor bastards in those monkey outfits.
Yeah.
Zach was sweating his ass off. That I felt bad for
him. He was General Lade.
Yeah.
He
directed it.
The late Michael Thomas did the ape makeup.
He did a great job.
And yeah, it was amazing.
And Merkins.
That's right.
Yeah. Now the monkey masks are really amazing that he made. They're fantastic.
Yeah. So
Debbie Rochon and Zach.
Yeah. It's really it's a decent show. And Noel Scotch Anderson, goofroof.com, also from Rock 102 up in Fargo, North Dakota.
Yes.
You can Google any of the stuff. Goofroof, to goofroof.com.
Who, me?
No, no. 102 Rock.
Right.
I think the radio gig ended. I saw something on Facebook.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Is that why it hasn't written in?
I don't know the story.
No, just recently there was a post today.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was today.
He said after 6 years or whatever.
Wow.
I don't know.
He's on his way to Jersey right now in a Winnebago.
Yeah, he's gonna take over this show.
Job.
Yeah,
broadcast live from your parking lot.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Okay. I gotta go to the website now. How did you hear that?
I was on Facebook.
The Facebook.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's very sad.
Oh, geez.
People are upset.
Yeah. Yeah, that really kind of put a damper on
now
things,
didn't
it?
Now we're all depressed.
You know what? Let's go to Scotch's commercial.
Yeah.
Tribute to Scotch.
Tribute to Scotch Anderson.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Noel Anderson, cartoonist, radio announcer, and AC podcast wannabe.
Now that's just sad.
It's sad, and it's pathetic.
I know. I've diabolically insinuated myself into the AC family by producing the first ever Seduction Cinema comic book.
Oh, very sexy.
That's right. Playmate of the Apes is now a comic book. For more info on my ridiculous artwork and how it can be used to promote and market your movie, go to goofroof.com. Goofroof.com. Want me to draw you some dirty pictures? Goofroof.com. You want to see what other filth I've drawn over the years?
What a dirty, filthy mind you got.
Goofroof.com.
Hey, we're back.
Hi.
Now, hello. I don't know, Aaron. I don't know too much about this, and you have to fill me in. First of all, I saw on the Facebook some shots of you not in a blonde wig, as a blonde with like marijuana. And then you alluded to, you know, you try to tell me that one point in your life you were, quote, unquote, a pothead. Like, no way.
Yeah.
No, stop it.
For 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Really?
You don't seem like a pot person.
Really?
Yeah.
When Erin showed up to my house, she had a joint in her panties.
Oh, really? Nice.
I cover that.
Now, why did you lose your interest in pots?
I don't smoke.
Oh. Was it like the company you keep? Like, were you hanging out with like a bunch of, like, hey, man.
Well, my boyfriend at the time was a pothead. I was into pot before I met him.
Okay. Mm.
But he smoked it all the time. So when you're in a relationship with someone who smokes pot all the time,
you
naturally end up doing the same thing.
Yeah. So you have some kind of pot report for us?
Yeah. Before I talk about confessions of a female pothead, which are my confessions.
Yeah.
I looked up 420 on the internet to talk a little about the origins of it. As all of you probably know, April 20th is a national holiday for stoners. It's a day where they all...
It's your birthday.
Yeah, and it's Mike Ross's birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
You gotta start smoking some weed,
Hitler's.
Dude.
And Hitler's birthday.
So. Yeah. Well,
and
that figures.
Columbine Massacre, the real
anniversary.
Whoa,
that's something.
Oh, a very eventful, evil day.
Yeah.
Get high, kill kid, and have birthday cake.
It's a day where they all gather together to celebrate and smoke marijuana. The earliest use of the term 420 began among a group of teenagers in San Rafael, California in 1971, calling themselves the Waldos because their chosen hangout spot was a wall outside the school. The group first used the term in connection... Where are the Waldos?
Okay. Totally sounds like it was made up by stoners.
Yeah.
The group first used the term in connection to a fall
1971 plan to search for an abandoned cannabis crop that they had learned about. The Waldos designated the Lewis Pasteur statue on the grounds of San Rafael High School as their meeting place and 4:20 p.m. as their meeting time. The Waldos referred to this plan with the phrase 420 Lewis. Multiple failed attempts to find the crop eventually shortened their phrase to simply 420, which ultimately evolved into a code word the teens used to mean pot smoking in general.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's amazing how caught on. Like one little thing, like, you know.
Yeah. One area. Yeah. Like a handful of people.
Just spread.
Influenced the world.
Like a virus.
So what's your story? When did you get into that?
So I decided to write a story about my history with marijuana to share with you on the podcast. So may I present Confessions of a Female Pothead. The first time I smoked pot was when I was 16 years old.
Oh, thank God. It wasn't like 12.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Appropriate age.
Yes.
I started smoking pot on a weekly basis in high school. I would use my allowance to buy weed for me and my girlfriends to smoke on the weekends. I used to share a pipe with the other stoners at school when we smoked pot during our lunch break, which resulted in me catching mononucleosis. Oh.
You should have known then. It was a sign.
Oh, I smoked weed on a daily basis from ages 17 to 28.
It was wow.
Every
a lot
day,
of weed.
Morning, noon, night.
Oh, my God.
All my waking hours. It was during that time that I grew marijuana in a hydroponic grow room located in a shed next to my house in Southern California. My boyfriend at the time set up the grow room, and I fed the plants. I would add nutrient solutions to a couple gallons of water at a time, then check the pH and ppm levels with electronic meters.
Wow. Very scientific.
I would then pour the mixture into a reservoir that was part of the watering system. I would have to do readings once again, and if the numbers were off, I would have to make a new mixture.
I was beaten mercilessly.
Or add clean water. I did get yelled at once, actually, for killing the babies.
Oh, dear.
The
baby,
geez.
What did you do? Not the babies.
Not the babies.
You killed the babies. What's wrong with you? Okay. I would have to do readings once again, and if the numbers were off, I would have to make a new mixture or add clean water, depending on whether the ppm and pH measurements were too low or too high.
Could never do this high.
No, I did.
Oh, my God.
It was very stressful for me because the plants could die if the formula wasn't right on. But luckily, I had pot to help take the edge off.
Wow. Kept you calm.
Yeah, that and some Xanax that a friend sent from Mexico.
C-bars.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And beer.
Oh,
okay.
My. And whiskey bong hits.
Nice.
I was alone during the holidays in 2005, so I harvested an entire crop of marijuana by myself on Christmas Eve.
How many plants would that be? Are you lighting up, Mike? What are you doing? Oh. More than 10?
Yeah, I think it was 12.
Wow.
I think.
With a pair of scissors? 12. Like, how do you get in there and do that? Are you stoned right now?
Like that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You could say more than 10, less than 20.
Yeah. I don't know. It figures I don't remember. Okay. I took all of the plants out of the grow room, brought them inside the house, manicured the plants, and put the weed inside large Ziploc bags, all while watching King Kong movies. Stoned, of course. It was a long, tedious task and left me with very sticky fingers. I was such an avid pot smoker that I joined NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Donate $4.20 to NORML on 420, and you can be a member too. I lived in Mexico during the winter for a few years, and because me and my boyfriend didn't want to smoke their swag the whole time, we had to smuggle our homegrown chronic over the border each time we drove our motorhome there.
No way.
I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In these military checkpoints throughout the peninsula.
Sheesh.
So we had them.
Where did you hide it?
Well, and luckily we had dogs with us a couple of times. I think he hid it in different compartments, like under a bed.
Oh, dear.
In the bathroom somewhere, like, I don't know. Certain spots.
I can't remember. It's so fuzzy.
This experience is like so like intense and technical. Like when I was smoking pot as a kid, it's just like whatever.
It's serious stuff.
This is like serious shit.
I couldn't even talk. I couldn't talk to people about, you know, the Happy Days that I watched last night, let alone check the pH level of plants. Like, did you see Potsy last night on Happy Days? Like, dude, you're jamming my head right now.
Day of the trippers.
Stop. Don't talk about Happy Days, man. You're freaking me out.
Marijuana is what helped me quit smoking cigarettes after 10 years.
Mm. Oh, good.
Yeah. I love the taste, the smell. Whoa,
do you smoke from like age 6 to age?
No, I started at age 15.
Okay, all right.
So I smoked until I was 25, and then I quit with the help of pot. I love the taste, the smell, the way it makes me feel. I wanted to, I wanted to have some meat.
Blup, 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 blup.
I wanted to have some weed with me when I left California to live in New Jersey, so I hid a joint in my underwear before my flight. I don't think I'd have the guts to do that now, since you can't get on a plane without being x-rayed, felt up, or forced to get naked so they can search you more thoroughly. I've since quit smoking pot, but I still support the use of it and believe it should be legalized. Happy 420 to all of you stoners out there. Smoke a bong load for me.
Wow, John, questions? Do you have any questions?
I think I asked them all during the story.
Now, Bill, did you know when you first, you know, hooked up with Erin on the interweb that she was? Did you know she smoked, or you had no idea? Oh, you did.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Okay. I didn't hide it.
Yeah, okay. No. It was like, I am a pothead.
Yeah.
First thing.
I love
thing,
to smoke weed. That's my main interest.
Like, Bill, do you smoke weed? I smoke weed. I love weed. Do you smoke weed? I smoke it every day. Awesome.
When you were like, Erin, when you were saying like, I love the smell of it, the taste of it, people listening like, yeah.
They're blowing smoke out going, oh yeah, righteous. Me too.
So that image of you with the blonde, with the weed, that's like a real picture?
Yeah.
Oh, you put the header in? The marijuana header in?
Someone did that for
okay.
me.
Okay. So you have the actual picture?
Yeah, that's in there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That should be like the avatar for the show.
Yeah, there's an album of me. When I had kind of like the Marilyn Monroe hair and the joint.
Now, William, you had mentioned like maybe just a quick roundtable about funny pot stories. Like, John, do you ever do the pots?
Did I ever do the pots? Yeah. In high school, of course.
High school. You?
Everybody Bill? Did it oh, in high
yeah.
school.
Really?
Yeah, but I was more of a like senior year and after. I was a late bloomer.
Okay.
Mm. And it gave me the fear a lot.
Yeah.
You ever get wheelchair weed?
What?
What's that?
What?
Wheelchair,
I haven't heard of that.
No.
Wheelchair weed is like a creeper weed where you'd smoke it and then like a half an hour later you couldn't really walk.
Oh.
You're so stoned that you're just like either stuck in your chair.
Oh my God.
Or I remember one time I came out of the bathroom and I had a bunch of friends in the living room and I literally fell down in the hallway next to the bathroom.
Christ.
And I was like, I can't walk. And they were all laughing at me.
They're like, ha-ha, you got the wheelchair pot.
I had to stay in the hallway
April for fools, fucker.
A good half an hour before I could actually get up and get back
That's
into
terrible.
The living room.
Yeah. I never had an experience like that.
Yeah, wheelchair weed.
I've completely given up marijuana completely because I'm completely unbearable. John, you experienced, we're up in... Wisconsin.
Was that in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I just like it. Just like it. Just no. No.
Yeah, you
no.
were. No. You were annoying. I wanted to slap you.
No. You
Why?
Know, it just it drops just all my like
inhibitions, and you just ramble about
Dracula.
It's like because we were like kind of talking and getting into these heavy conversations, and Mike was just like kind of wandering around the background, and he would just pop in and go. You guys want me to walk out here so that Dracula can come and take me away, and then you guys won't have to kill me yourselves because you're sitting here planning about killing me, aren't you? And he's like looking at us, we're all like, what are you talking about? Dude. And then he'd just walk away and wander off, and then a story about the wolf man would arise. It was just crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
It was funny.
I went to New York City, like a just day trip with Tracky, AJS, and a bunch of the other guys, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Bad day.
I just every word that came out of my mouth was a triple. I'd be like, John, where are we going? going.
Gotta get the paper.
Yeah,
the
I mean, the whole day. They took me to Port Authority
and put you on a bus.
And they put me on a bus.
They said, "Get the fuck out of here."
Yeah, it was just That's why. No.
Wow, that's heavy duty.
Yeah, that stinks.
It affects people's brains in different ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, now there's a lot more different types of weed out there. Yeah. So you probably just got some crazy intense stuff.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, there was no selection like there is now.
Did you guys ever used to purposely smoke pot and watch horror movies?
Yeah, we smoke pot and do everything. Listen to music and go hiking. And
horror movies are really great on pot. Yeah. You know, they make you feel like a little kid again, and they scare the crap out of you. Scare away.
I will say this. Any time I've smoked marijuana recently, not a few years ago, the music, like to hear music is extraordinary.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Unbelievable. The things you pull out of it.
Mm-hmm. You get it. You're like, oh my God, I get it. Pink Floyd is incredible. Been listening all these years and I never got
you
it.
You hear the deep stuff.
Yeah.
Like all the little nuances.
The nuances, yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Totally.
It's the only reason why I would smoke pot. Alone.
Listen to it on a 5.1 system.
Yeah,
if there's a 5.1 mix. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's electronic marijuana.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's very crazy. Cool. It's a trip. Yeah. Listen to King Crimson. Poseidon, The Wake of Poseidon, 5.1.
Yeah.
Well, you got a little something.
Well, I got some pop music.
Yeah?
I was just going to say.
Yes.
Last thing. And since it's the anniversary of Columbine as well, you should watch Duck, the Carbine High Massacre.
Yep.
Written, directed, and starring William Hellfire, and featuring Super 8 footage of our birthday boy, Mike Rosso, as a young William Hellfire getting a gun for Christmas
The
opening credits.
Very nice.
Funny.
What did you think when you saw that footage for the first time?
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's
Kismet. He showed it to me.
And okay.
I just couldn't believe it because...
It existed.
That it existed. Mm. And it was just so ironic that, you know, you weren't going to distribute... The one movie you weren't going to distribute that I made, and then you give us the greatest opening that like kind of made the movie go together,
tied it together.
Do you remember that footage?
Cool. Yeah,
it's amazing.
In the '60s, you gave kids like real looking plastic guns
all the way through the '80s. Yeah, absolutely.
And it was perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember one of my favorite toys when I was a kid was like a 1920s gangster type gun with the little thing in there, and you pull the trigger and it went. I just spun around like, look, see, I'm going to kill you, see. Yeah. It's my favorite toy.
Great. No, I love that footage. That's super great footage.
Yeah, but it's totally chilling today.
Have you shown it to your brother?
No, I don't show him anything.
No.
He doesn't even know he's famous.
His brother doesn't even.
I gun him down. I gunned him down. Like I must be what, three?
You're like you look on your face.
You're only three.
And it slows down. It's just so like. Oh,
you like had enough of him already.
One's gotta go.
Terrible.
It was like 1960s home movies with the big movie lights. So everything's like bright.
Yeah, it's blasted.
And it's some kind of like ectochrome color. Mm. It's really awesome.
It is amazing. Yeah. Cool. So I brought some marijuana music for you guys. First one is there's a new band, Zaddix. In Brooklyn, this is really super.
Oh, I called it X-Train in the intro.
X-Train.
Oh, X-Train was, sorry there. Yeah, that was a...
I thought that was a pronunciation.
I actually brought a different song. What was the song that I brought? Was it Made of Nerves? What is that? Lives on Nerves. These guys are from Brooklyn, and funny story is on the Facebook, I was talking to this cat, Nick Sakes, and he actually knows the two guys that were in Les Chic, so he was having a laugh.
Which two guys?
The two guys that are in the record store.
Oh,
that
fighting
are in the
over
band.
The Kiss record.
Yeah, fighting over the Kiss record. They're in Vaz, and he was freaking out. He's like, I gotta see this movie. So anyway, Nick Sakes of the Dazzling Killmen, Colossomite, and Sick Bay teams up with drummer Chrissy Rossetti of My Name is Ra Ra to form psychospastic rock duo Zaddix in honor of their shared love for palindromes and pointy letters. Their new album, Clockwork, will come out on Skin Graft May 8th, so let's take a listen to this pretty crazy song.
Okay. What's the name of the song?
It's called Lives on Nerves.
I don't see it on my list here.
Sorry. It's here.
Oh,
it's on there. Wait, where did it go? Oh.
Yeah, I was going
to... Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it was originally...
Axadakis.
Yeah, it was originally going to be Zaddix. Okay. So here's the other track. We'll be right back. brought also Blue Cheer, Oh Pleasant Hope.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is a pot song.
Billy Joe went looking around one yellow summer day to see if he could find some grass.
Stoner Rock Godfather's Blue Cheer mellow out on this 71 record before calling it quits till their metal comeback in 84. Oh Pleasant Hope is about crawling into a marijuana dry town and hoping for the good old days to come back.
Okay.
Farmers being burned out in the USA. Long live Mexico. So why won't the man let grass grow? So let's dig it.
Okay, let's dig it. Excellent.
All right. Blue Cheer is one of my favorites. Now, this other track that I wanted to play was supposed to be played for the Valentine's show. So
thank God you put it on a disc.
I put it on a disc this time so that it'll get played. This was our Shardy Drawers listener, George Burns, sent us a link to his tune, which got neglected two podcasts ago. So happy belated Valentine with this song from AC podcast supporter Contact Low.
Is there anything pot related about this?
It's pretty scary if you're stoned. Right. The song's called All For You.
Hey, what about Sweet Leaf by Black Sabbath?
Or Sweat Loaf by the
Sweat Loaf.
The Butthole Surfers do Sweet Leaf, but they call it Sweat Loaf.
What's this?
On the Locust.
Man. You
never heard it, no.
Locust Abortion Technician is the greatest stoner album ever.
Is it really?
I listened to it on acid.
Oh, my God.
It's so scary, I couldn't get up off my bed to turn it off. I was listening to the whole thing. They have a song with, like, all these fucking cows. And this guy, like, they have an Indian guy that's going, cunts, 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 and they slow it down and start saying cunts over and over again.
Oh, it's no, really that's trippy.
You guys would love it.
That would probably induce a flashback if I heard
it's heavy duty.
What's this Reefer Man?
You can maybe just throw that somewhere. That's, okay. From the 20 Great Jazz Hits About
Marijuana. Oh, how about that?
It's a Reefer Man.
And this is a 1932. PSA.
Yeah, I looked on YouTube for a PSA for anti-marijuana, and I found one called Pot Hurts.
Yep.
It's hilarious.
Pot Hurts.
It's from the 80s.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, look at that. Pot Hurts.
Is it Charlton Heston? Talking about, listen, who does pot hurt?
I'll shoot you.
Oh,
it
hurts
every
him.
Willing American who wants to bring their children up. Pot-free zone. Damn you, dirty
dealers,
pot smokers.
I keep remembering the greatest pot story I could relay to everyone. Then I just forget it.
Yeah,
it's happened three times today.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think we're gonna have to put you down soon.
Yeah. Holy smokes. Hey, let's take a break.
Okay.
There will be no eating. E-A-T-I-N-G. No eating in this class. You get used to doing your own business on your own time. That's one demand I make. Just like you wouldn't want me to come to your house some evening and discuss U.S. history on your time. Understand?
This guy's been stoned since the third grade.
Yes?
Yeah, I'm registered in this class.
What class?
This is U.S. history. See the globe right there.
Really?
Hey. May I come in?
Oh, please. I get so lonely when I hear that third attendance bell ring and all my kids are not here.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule's totally confusing. I know that, dude.
Mr. Spicoli.
That's the name they gave me. Hey, you're ripping my car.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
No problem at all. I think you know where the front office is.
You dick!
Hey, we're back.
Hey there.
Hey, Williams, let's talk about some reviews. Speaking of pots.
I got a couple of reviews. Tripping. I got a couple of reviews. Well, you know, it's 420 coming up, so we have drop your socks and grab your bongs. It's trippin'. Get your bong and fill it with blood, because 420 spells doomsday for three couples on a camping getaway in Trippin', the new feature film from horror writer-director D.V. Snively. With winceworthy gore, special effects artist Monster Minion Crosby, brought to life in a colorful halo of high def from cinema photographer Ian Issit. Is it now?
Yeah.
The film unfolds through Zed, a barfly being fed drinks to recant a scar story, by an interested film director who makes Zed's story into the movie we're about to see. Zed, who survived the ordeal that led to his scar, hints to us his version of the tale may be a little tall, as he will need to drag it out over 12 beers long. And a tall tale indeed, but certainly not one you would expect for three couples jaunting in the woods with joints, beer, amyl nitrates, and quaaludes. We've seen so many of these. Into the woods, to the hillbilly cannibal shack we go, where he rapes the men and eats the women or whatever have you. And so have these stoner kids. With murder mayhem movies ripe in their rotted brain cells, they drink, smoke, and drive to a cabin in the woods. Chuck, the ex-con drunk driving the smoke-filled mystery van, has paid the hillbilly they are renting the cabin from to leave animal entrails over the grounds and set up special effects human skin scarecrows to creep out his creeper weed puffin' friends. Meanwhile, his girlfriend, whose hobby is to photograph roadkill, thinks she spies a human arm on the side of the road, and a David Lynch-like conversation about the probability of human body parts being found on the side of the road soon gets wiped from their fuzzy minds, and they never turn back to check. With a who cares, it's not my arm, let's go get wasted attitude. The groovy carpeted psychedelic rolling pot den van surprisingly breaks down and the couple has to hoof it to the cabin. So Jeremy, he's brought his new girlfriend along and she doesn't gel with the gaggle of douchebags who nickname her Jizz. She has a heart condition and isn't accustomed to their waster lifestyle. By night's fall, the catfighting calms, and just when she starts melding into the pot-laden family's folds, she finds out that the spaghetti dinner was made with a bottle of crushed quaaludes amongst the crushed tomatoes. She proceeds to fade, as her little heart might now give out under the strain of the heavy, saucy dose. Then little feral hillbilly kids throw rocks through the windows and all the stoned-out campers get the fear. Chuck's little joke backfires, and one by one they start accidentally, and not so accidentally, finding ways to dispatch themselves and each other. So highlights of their high night are when Zed ends up with a nasty case of bear trap on the leg, and even though he's been drinking all night and may bleed to death, is cast aside on the floor while Chuck and his girl fuck. When Zed turns up missing, presumably kidnapped by murderous hillbillies, Jeremy goes off to look for him, but abandons the search to cheat on his girlfriend and bang Zed's girl instead. In hopes... In hopes of getting higher, Zed gobbles Jizz's heart medicine and has a knife fight with a hallucinated third eye that appears out of the bear trap wound in his glorious unexpected trip animation sequence.
Oh, dear.
So, drugs are bad. Don't do drugs. Writer-director D.B. Snively's comedic warning on the ill fates of recreational drug use is a 420 downer. It's clear she hates stoners and is using the horror medium to take pot shots at potheads. All the stoner characters in the film are assholes, idiots with monkey's morals, at least the bong-headed buffoons she's portraying here. These are not the genuine hippie or doom stoner heads we all know to love, but the spin doctors-looking 90s throwback slobs who buy their outdated digs at Spencer's and litter their munchy wrappers in the parking lot of Hootie and the Blowfish concerts. Well, these kids actually listen to generic punk ska music, but you get my drift. They need to die. Unfortunately, the script is filled with very naive, infantile humor, and dialogue scenes drag on a little too long. The premise of the story is such an original take, I wish that the humor was less forced and more practical to the characters. But beside that, the real showcase here is the gore effects, particularly the bear trap knee scene, which had me wincing. So kudos to special effects artist Midian Crosby on a bloody bang-up job. Also look out for her in an unrecognizable cameo as Mabel, the haggard, angry hillbilly wife, and her husband, Red, played by Cyrus Oleski. Though their time is short in the film, they steal the show with their red herring wink-wink hillbilly antics. With cinema photography from Ian Issit, Debbie has raised the bar for the indie horror film productions. So this is a must-see for all you filmmakers out there. It's slick, crisp, tight set design,
believable gore, trip animation make this Don't Do Drugs PSA a good trip after all.
Hmm.
Yeah, so you're going to check it out.
Yes. Thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zed was great. He made me laugh a lot.
Yeah. But so, I think the Hillbillies are the best. They're awesome. And the Hillbilly Children were like, what the fuck is going on here? But the Great Gore, it looks, it's really slick, though, man. Yeah. I'm surprised.
Really?
It's a good-looking film.
Yeah, you got a good one. Yeah, very nice.
Can you comment on any extras on this disc?
Yeah, she has a second disc of all her short films.
Oh.
And I'm trying to remember what the... Now I don't have it read it down. Duh. But
the films are on the back of the box.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. She has a Teenage Bikini Vampire, Confederate Zombie Massacre, Raven Gets a Life, Death in Charge, Meat is Murder, I Spit on Eli Roth, Last Seen on Dolores Street, which was an official selection at Comic-Con 2011, Making of No Budget Zombie Flick, CZM, and Death in Charge was sponsored by AFI's Directing Workshop for Women. So, yeah, I've actually seen her name around a bit. And as you said, she's in Fangoria, so it was pretty exciting seeing her film. But it definitely is a pretty high-quality picture. So
you have not had a chance to check out those extras?
I have not
extras.
Seen the extras
okay,
yet.
Okay, cool. Sounds like it's chock-full.
It's chock-full. Two discs of
chock-a-block.
Love. So pick that up at AC.
Yeah, alternativecinema.com and everywhere.
And next on the list is, this is a great film for stoners, because the movie's so horrendously awful, it'll just make you laugh until you have a heart attack. The movie is hilarious. We were sober.
This is one of the notorious 1980s films.
This is from 1988, shot on video. It's called 555. It's a shot on video cross-eyed gore clunker released in the retro love style of Camp Motion Pictures and Intervision by newcomer Massacre Video.
Massacre Video. Massacre Video.
From one-shot director Wally Kaz and written by Ken Roy Kaz, a hippie dudded sexual sadist is on the prowl, killing couples, pre-intercourse, and then taking the spoils for himself, having post-mortem coitus with the female corpses.
Oh, dear.
A pasty balding like Charlie Brown with a squiggle of hair and center of head detective Holler is on the trail putting it together.
I'm on the trail.
Very much like that.
Really?
Is
he gruff?
It's fucking the gruff old guy?
It doesn't stop. Disgusting killer.
Every 5 years, a string of murders occur every 5 days with the same M.O. The only witness is a crotchety old Colonel Wayne. played by the aging Charles Fuller, and is awkwardly seduced by poorly casted wooden Marilyn Bastion as Susan Rather, the reporter out for a scoop.
Oh, dear.
An obviously desperate actress willing to bare her droopy boobs in one of the most uncomfortable sex scenes I have ever seen.
Oh, you haven't seen Woody Allen try to kiss Elizabeth's shoe then, have you?
Oh, my God, no. It's just
that who he kissed in one of his movies, Woody Allen?
Elizabeth's shoe doesn't have droopy boobs.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, Elizabeth's shoes.
He said uncomfortable sex scenes. Oh. So it's uncomfortable seeing Woody Allen trying to make out with Elizabeth's shoe.
Which movie?
I don't know. Some movie.
Okay.
Picture retired war vet Grandpa Frankenstein fondling the droopy boobs of PTA meeting. Minivan driving.
Dear.
Doughy, puffy-haired Avon lady next door. To make matters worse, add graphic audio of your slurpy, swishing, tongue-mashing makeout.
Oh,
I puked
horrible.
Up in the back of my throat. This whole movie is deadpan serious, and its intention is to make a horror classic. And all throughout, you will be questioning if the filmmakers are from Earth or not.
It sounds like amazing, I have to see this.
Breathtakingly hilarious throughout highlights include detectives calling Susan Rather great in bed because she has the morals of an alley cat, discussing the killer's post-mortem sexual proclivities. The DA says,
"He gotta be a sick fuck wanting to screw dead meat."
Detective Holler replies,
"Different strokes for different folks."
Detective Connor.
That's not funny.
No, it is. Really, it is. The gore is gratuitous, low budget. Look at Jeffrey Lyle Siegel's work. He did Reanimator. He worked on Reanimator and did the special effects for Henry. Heads being lopped off, camera lingering on the dummy neck, squirting streams of fake blood, hued purple by the off-color poor lighting and video quality mix. Mm. Screaming girl gets nipple sliced in two via New York Ripper-style sadism. Mm-hmm. The killer's constantly fucking dead girls in full thrusting function. This is one
it graphic?
Scene. No, but it's just it's hilarious. There's one scene where he's interrupted by the police in mid-screw, and he screams, "No!"
Oh, really?
And then keeps pumping a few more before dismounting to square off with the fuzz. Oh, this is a must-see for bad movie lovers who crave oddities lost in the techno leap from VHS to digital.
Gotta see it.
Original music by Frankie Hollywood Rodriguez.
Frankie Hollywood.
Yeah,
Frankie
Hollywood.
Oh, him?
Frankie Hollywood.
Yeah, he's a Hollywood dog.
He's got Grand balls 80s enough to call themselves Frankie Hollywood.
He does. And the music's awesome. Grand, it's like 80s synth pounder. Mm-hmm. It'll just have you like totally couch dancing.
Yeah.
Will I want to do some aerobics with Jane Fonda?
Totally. I had my leg warmers on. Great eye-popping pink retro cover art, keeping the feel of the original horrendous video box and retro-realistic video graphics for the new distributor's moniker, Massive Video, which also has a super cool synth sting with it.
Massacre Video.
And check out the creepy trailers for Massacre Video's next release. There's some Mondo documentary called Orozoko or something, Orzoko.
Hi.
Shot by a Japanese filmmaker about an embalmer in Mexico. It's like fucking insane.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that.
Totally yeah. No, you do. Like and inside you'll find rental memories from R. Edinger, Ultraviolet Magazine, saying it best, it sucks, but it sucks with dignity. Buy it from AlternativeCinema.com.
Yes, it's a good time. Very entertaining.
Awesome. Is the filmmaker on the disc somewhere?
There's extras and trailers and everything.
I'm curious if he's deadpan serious about the movie or.
I haven't seen the extras yet.
About whether he's just like, you know, my masterpiece is all about.
Like Troll 2.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
Troll 2.
The guy, the director of Troll 2, Claudio.
Well, oh, did you see the documentary?
I love it.
What's it called? Worst Best Movie?
That's what made me want to see.
His movies are great, though. Have you ever seen any of other?
No.
They're all
Troll 2,
awful.
The whole
is
Troll.
Is that the one back in the hood?
No, in the 80s.
No. You're thinking of Leprechaun.
That's Leprechaun. No, Troll 2.
Oh, I'm thinking Leprechaun. Okay.
Troll 2 has like a
Leprechaun in the hood.
Where they get stoned.
It's such a language barrier.
It's crazy.
There's
an Italian director who came over to America to make a horror film.
Why? In Utah,
but there's no massive language barrier, so he's using like the worst actors, but treating it serious.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and the documentary. Like,
in front of the mirror.
He shows up for like a revival, and people like commenting on the movie how bad it is. He's getting pissed off.
Yeah. Is he really?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
this is on the Netflix stream. It's called Worst Best Movie.
Really?
No, worst movie.
Best worst. It's amazing.
Yeah. Huh?
And the lead actress is nuts.
Oh yeah,
the one that has the cat on her shirt.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy.
Oh wow,
it's great. Gotta see it.
But you should watch some of Claudio Fragrasso's other films because, like, Hands of Steel is incredible.
No kidding. So this is a fluke.
Incredible in the sense that they're all hilarious.
Oh. Yeah.
They're awful as well?
Yeah, Zombie 4.
Oh, dear.
He did Zombie
4?
He worked on Zombie 3 when Lucio Fulci split.
And then he did the second one.
He did Zombie 4. It's, like, hard to watch. It's great.
Okay.
So in John's clutches now is 555. You seem very excited
Enjoy.
To see
it.
Enjoy. Yeah, the Bill's review is glowing.
And this is new to AlternativeCinema.com, which is, AC.com is quickly becoming the one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right on.
Yeah, you're like the blob.
Yeah.
Sucking up all these independent film
because
companies.
There's really nowhere to go. I was just talking to our friend Jeff, and he's just like, you've seen any good movies. There's nowhere to go to like go and peruse movies.
No.
You know? So you got to get your search engine kicking
butt. I can't wait to get our new website.
Yeah. New website's got to beat Netflix.
You should make it like looking through a record bin. R's.
Yeah.
It's
got to be fun.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in years.
No. Monsters. You went to... Sound Exchange.
I didn't walk in.
Oh, you didn't?
It's
you were going to walk in. You're like, oh, I don't want to cut my hands.
I don't want to cut my fingers. Because everything is just so jammed in there.
With all the razor blades.
You can't casually walk into Sound Exchange. You got to like spend some time there. You can't walk in.
Get on the dirty floor and like crawl through.
Exactly. You have to get on the floor.
It's a whole thing.
Shit falls over. They have all the CDs packed into those little boxes.
The fat guy's like, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
Artie.
It eats standard.
That's where I got.
I believe that guy's still alive.
I just wanted to say, I forgot. Could you throw this in?
Yeah.
I just wrote a little article for GordonTheWhale.com.
What's that?
It should be up within a week or so.
Gordon the Whale.
GordonTheWhale.com.
Is it related to the Gordon Fisherman?
He is not. No. It's a movie website, and they asked me to write an article. I think it's going to be called The Horror of Sex.
Okay.
And I do actually mention Sound Exchange renting Make Them Die Slowly in eighth grade and causing a friend of mine some trauma.
They used to rent VHS, right?
Yes.
Did they really? Yeah. I don't remember
I had to put
that.
Down an $80 deposit to rent the VHS.
$80? Yeah, $80! I want you to run away with my VHS. Hand me my cigarettes.
I don't think he smokes anymore.
No, I hope not.
And that, of course, is Reverend Dan in Pompton Lakes.
Yeah, you got to go see Reverend Dan.
We got to go, John.
We should go. I haven't been there. I should say in 20 years.
Yeah,
20 years.
We'll go together.
I haven't been there since the '80s, perhaps early 90s.
Do you have your record player hooked up? You listen to vinyl?
No, I can't put vinyl around my punks.
You would keep it up and not high
don't
in air.
Sell that
it'll
shit across the room.
Like I used to do it.
Well, my CDs. I had a 500 or 300 disc CD player that you could jukebox. All of them pulled out. They'd open the door and like.
You hit your kids?
Oh yeah. Do I hit them?
No.
Yeah. Keep that. That's a good.
No, I don't
keep
hit
on
my
the DL.
Kids. I never hit my kids.
Social services. I listen to the AC podcast.
I'm taking these children, you pot smoking hitter.
Fideli's only growing the children so we can murder them in movies anyway.
Believe me, you can do what I do, smoking weed.
Now, just before we go, quick mention. You know, you haven't mentioned Easter. It's a holiday John hates.
I hate it.
Wasn't there some Rankin Bass puppet master thing with like an Easter bunny with like an iron arm or something, like a bad guy?
The hell are you talking about?
Wasn't there
Easter Bunny?
Mecha Easter Bunny.
But wasn't there a...
Versus Godzilla, yeah.
No, you know Rankin Bass? Like,
yes.
They made an Easter thing.
Can you look that up?
Because I have to.
Rankin Bass Easter show.
I'm trying to... I don't remember
Snapple
the Easter show too well.
For April.
What does it say?
More than 180 countries celebrate Earth Day together every April 22nd.
Here you go.
That's my Snapple fact.
It's called Easter Bunny is Coming to Town. Oh, thank you.
No, it's not.
Swear to God. 77. That says the Easter Bunny is Coming to Town is a 77 Easter special by Rankin Bass seen on ABC.
Hmm. Okay.
Wait, it is a semi-sequel to Rankin Bass' earlier Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah. That's weird.
Zooks the bear. Well, Fred Astaire is there.
What's Fred Astaire?
Fred Astaire.
He's in Towering Inferno.
Oh, yeah. It's on our on
his
our
girlfriend queue. Dies.
Oh,
thanks. Thanks a lot.
You didn't see it?
No, not yet. It's on our queue.
It doesn't matter. I won't remember. No short-term memory. I was a pothead for 10 years.
Oh.
It's fine. I have two holiday recommendations.
Oh, okay.
This is all I can figure out.
Movie.
All
right.
Sure.
Night of the Lepus.
Okay.
Do you know
big rabbits?
Giant rabbits.
I've never saw it.
Eat Mike.
Says, wait,
I've
never saw it. The Kings.
It's on.
Oh,
Ed,
it's so
funny.
I want to get it for Netflix.
Until he first comes of age.
Did you ever see that?
Gadzooks the bear is a bad character who turns good with the help of Sonny.
He's on his own thing.
It doesn't say anything about a rabbit with a rubber arm or a metal arm.
No.
Here, is this it?
Did you ever see Night of the Lepus, John?
Night of the Rapist?
Lepus. Night of the Lepus?
No.
It's the giant rabbits, and it's kind of like Food of the Gods.
Lepers?
These real rabbits?
They use real rabbits.
It's bad.
I want to see it again.
It's
no,
really,
it's great.
There's so many rabbits, and they get like sprayed with this stuff, and they get huge or whatever.
Oh, really?
And they eat people.
Oh, dear.
So they have like jelly all over the faces, and then they have like the fake rabbit face that's like, nah, 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 nah. It's you'll love it, you'll die. We were
there's a scene in Food of the Gods. What is it, like a rat or a beaver that eats somebody?
Yeah.
I just got a chill thinking about it.
I got to show the rest.
I don't
that
need
one
to see rabbits
like
eating. You know what else gave me a chill with rabbits? In I think the sequel to The Fly with David Hemmings.
Oh,
when the guy turns into a rabbit.
So it's a hamster or something.
He turns into a half rabbit, half man, and he's just sitting there like a rabbit pole. That freaked me out.
It was a still of that they used.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, like Famous Monsters used to post the still.
That one shot freaked me out forever.
It was weird. The Fly movies, they creep me out.
And they keep cutting back to the first one, right? They always like use footage
of
the first one.
I don't remember that. But if you're unfortunate enough to see Curse of the Fly, the third one, just like bizarre.
From back in the day, the 60s?
Yeah.
Was it 60s or 70s?
Curse of the Fly.
60.
Oh, some box out. You can get all three of them.
Russ cried.
And Curse of the Fly.
In The Fly.
It's like people know no eyes.
Oh,
yeah, everything makes me cry.
The other...
I love that one. Vincent Price.
Help me. The other...
It's weird.
The other Easter egg movie I have, and this is the last one,
oh,
is
not
Jackie Kong.
What?
Jackie.
Directed The Being, which happens at Easter time during an Easter egg hunt. That's it. That's all I can think of.
Okay, it's fine. Not everyone celebrates this Easter thing.
Yeah. Don't like it, no, sir.
So
don't like.
There's a horror.
Don't like
movie
the excessive eating of chocolate or hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah,
you got to get that on Netflix as well.
Oh, what's it called?
April Fool's
There's
Day.
There's an April Fool's Day horror movie. We watch a horror movie so for each holiday. Like if it's
horror day,
every day is a horror day.
You know what we really should do, Williams. We really should. I mean, we have it right here. Beautiful William Patterson campus with a theater.
We should have some screen.
Bad movie night sponsored by Alternative Cinema.
That would be cool.
We put it up. We post a flyer of the place.
No movie we could show.
And then worst case scenario, it's just us.
Yeah. What?
That's fine.
Yeah, right?
That sounds like a good thing.
What was the movie we shot? We were trying to do a factory movie.
What?
With Tina Krause.
Oh.
What was that called?
It was called...
it's a pretty crazy movie.
Strangled Wife.
Strangled Wife.
Yeah, it's a pretty silly movie.
It's a crazy...
And you did Strangled Co-eds too, or was that...
Cloned and chloroformed.
Cloned and...
That's...
Cloned and, cloned and chloroformed co-eds.
Ready to be released on DVD. We just forgot about it.
Really?
Oh. It's authored and everything.
Really?
Yeah, The Strangled Wife.
The Strangled Wife. It's pretty silly.
You know what? It's very strange.
It's very strange. Speaking about smoking pot and watching movies, you should watch that.
Well, in the early days, we didn't really know how serious the strangulation fan was.
I think we did. We just
couldn't
goofed up.
Couldn't handle doing it for real. Because, no. I mean, even like my early strangulation movies don't cut it. And we would get feedback. They would get upset.
That movie's a bad dream. Yeah. Like, you're like a Siamese twin with...
I forget.
Jeff, you guys have the same...
Remember, I was a doctor in it, and the Siamese twin, and we had finger puppets with birds. That's insanity.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you ever saw Strangled Wife?
A long time ago, yeah, with you guys.
I had the... Yeah, it was a pretty crazy movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it completely. I've never sat and watched
Tina Krause is a real trooper.
She was great.
Yeah.
She was awesome in both of those movies.
Yeah, she's very
good. I mean, what she went through with Wave was nothing compared to those two movies.
Yeah. WaveMovies.com, by the way, if people listening like, what are you guys talking about?
Oh, yeah, go to WaveMovies.com.
Check it out.
It's pretty weird.
The tons of movies.
Oh,
there.
Wait, we're forgetting something.
Well, of course we are. We always forget something.
Yeah.
The Lomo Kino movie.
This Dracula's daughter.
You got to put this up.
Daughter Dracula.
Edit this and put this up.
I play Dracula's daughter.
Mm, yeah. So tell us about the movie, Mike.
Oh, thank you. Lomo Kino is a little analog. It's a little plastic camera. You know, a little cartridge of film you buy at CVS.
Yes.
So this camera takes a cartridge of film.
36 exposures.
36 exposures, and it has a crank on the side.
Crank.
So just like a 1920s movie.
Yes.
You like crank it, and it puts... 144 frames on
it, it
of
puts
that
each frame it cut, slices it four. To four.
Yes. Yes.
Quarters.
144 frames. You cut out each frame, you put it into editing software, and it makes a mini movie.
Yeah.
So Lomography.com, it's called the Lomographic Society. They're in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the film photography podcast and my addiction to film photography,
yes. Mm-hmm.
They contacted me. And said, do you want to be a Lomo Kino amigo?
A friend,
yes.
Very cool.
And they sent me a camera.
Yeah.
And I'm so obsessed with the process. I bought a camera too, so I have two cameras.
Yes.
One always loaded with film. A part of my commitment to being an amigo is to test the camera. So I set out on a mission in 2012 to shoot a bunch of short films. Short.
20 seconds.
20 seconds.
Yeah. They're super short.
Super short. So the first one we did... was, what's it called?
Daughter Dracula.
Yeah, the Daughter of Dracula. And all it is like a Hammer-esque, it's outside with like tombs, and Erin Russ, the Russ, plays Dracula's daughter, and she's sad that her dad, Dracula's dead. So she brings him flowers, a bunch of black roses.
Yes.
And then she like goes off, and then she turns into like, Dracula.
And she bites the
documentary.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And that's the first one in
it's
a series.
20 seconds long.
Spook shows. And Paige Davis was instrumental in getting together the costuming and, you know, hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work on a second one, and we're tossing around between a sequel like with Dracula in it or a werewolf.
Mm.
But I think we're going to do the werewolf.
Werewolf will be
because
fun.
We want to do a transformation.
That'll be fun.
Which is great because since it's a crank camera,
mm-hmm.
each frame you crank,
mm.
you can lock it down and actually animate the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be amazing.
Very cool.
And what was the scenario you came up with?
Erin, Bill, and I are sitting in a parlor talking, and I'm like a stuffy guy, and Erin is Erin, of course, and you all of a sudden look out
there.
Well, you know.
Stoned
and just staring out the window at a full moon. You're like, oh, dude, the moon is full. And all of a sudden, Bill's like, ah! Falls down, starts transforming. And when your transformation is complete, you get up and rip my throat out. And then you start humping her leg. The end.
He just came up with it.
That's pretty funny.
Sounds fun.
See, they need to be fast.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Has to happen like
the transformation is going to take a lot of frames.
Yeah, but it'll happen really fast.
Yeah.
I know. It'll be a whole role just for the transformation.
You can see this if you go to on YouTube. You go to Film Photography Tube. Just type in that, and it'll come up to our channel.
Yes.
Yeah. Or you could try other things. You could type in like
Aaron Russ Lomokino.
Aaron Russ Lomokino.
In the footage you shot of me and Bill.
Oh.
It's
yes.
on there too. That little.
What if you Google Aaron Russ Lomokino? What happens, John?
Oh my God, the world explodes.
Lomokino, Aaron Russ.
No, instead of saying videos, what would you say?
Oh, they're movies. Mini movies.
Two movies.
Yeah, they're mini
First
movies.
Thing, Lomokino test, the Russ and William.
That's the
And
test.
Then it's followed
that's
by test. Daughter Dracula.
Oh,
right?
20 Second Spook Show 1, Daughter Dracula.
So you got to go to 20 Second Spook Show 1, Daughter Dracula.
Yeah, check it out. So
check it out on
the
YouTube.
The goal is. As I told the Lomography Society...
44 seconds.
Someone said, is it just me or is
or what?
Dracula's daughter kind of hot?
Oh, yeah, the comments are like, Dracula's daughter's hot. Is it me or is Dracula's daughter hot?
Am I the only one who thought Dracula's daughter was kind of hot?
And then some people clicked
Reminds
like,
me of so. Nosferatu. Amazing. I thought the Lomokino was way too limited until I saw this.
Nice.
Oh. Okay, that's just awesome. Now I want a Lomokino.
Nice.
See?
Dude, great. Man, this is radical. Beautiful. Great location and well-framed shots.
People say
and
about
scary
them.
Ending.
Oh,
I jumped.
I tried to do a zinger at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I have zinger. A mummy one in mind.
Mummy.
Okay. Of course, shot at Roller Coaster Studios. There's a mummy set.
Dear.
So we dress you up as like an explorer with a pith helmet. And like you see like the scroll. And you start reading it, and then all of a sudden,
the mummy comes.
The mummy comes, and like you see, like ah, and you turn around, and your tongue's gone. I just made that up.
And the mummy's like this.
I just made that up.
He's like trying to stick it in. I love you. I love you.
You know that's what happens in the basement.
What
the mummy takes Mr. Huff's tongue?
Does it?
He puts it in his own mouth and starts talking.
Oh, is that right?
He puts it in his own mouth. Says happy Halloween.
See,
happy
a good idea Halloween. Is never a bad idea.
No, exactly.
Very nice.
What if you type in?
Oh, jeez. What am I?
Lomography Michael Rosso. This is that blog. Is that whole Q&A with me on the lomography? Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. Lomography.
Mike Rosso or Michael?
Michael.
Is that A-E-L?
Oh, Jesus. M-I-C-H-A-E-L.
All right. I don't spell Michael too often. You're Mike. Lomokino Amigo. Lomo Amigo Mike Rosso, a film lomography.
Did I click that? Is that the blog?
Yeah.
That's it? Is that the one?
Yeah, it's got magic carpet fried on it. It's got your interview and Dracula's daughter.
There you go.
Yeah,
lomography. How'd you get to that?
I put Lomography Michael Rosso.
Oh, there you go. So, folks out there, Lomography Michael Rosso is a blog by the Lomography Society in Vienna where they asked me a bunch of questions.
They asked you.
Oh, yeah. They asked me all these questions, and I gave them my answers.
What? That's a nice shot. See, you do stuff like this. Experiment with the Lomokino.
Oh, yeah. Knock my stuff and say that.
No, your stuff is great, but I'm just saying the next level would be...
I thought that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or Dr. Jekyll Mistress Hyde, would be an experimental double exposure. Like we shoot one exposure with like black in the background.
Yes.
And then do it again. So she turns into Ms. Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Like a
Dr. Jekyll's like, sister.
So she's
Hyde.
Playing like against herself.
Yeah, she's like.
Argh. Sort of like in The Exorcist.
Yes.
When she's like pulling the heart out.
Oh, that reminds me. Devil Sister. You know what? In the book, Shock Festival, the coffee table book,
right.
I read the thing about Devil Sister, and it said that the priest, who's played by you, raped and murdered me.
Oh, dear. I would never do that to you.
That's not
Bill, I would rape and murder, but never you.
Lomokino Exorcist.
Oh.
Oh.
It would just be like this.
He pukes.
Ah! Done.
Pukes pea soup into a can.
We
can
could build. We could build a dummy.
And my kid's eating it.
Yeah. We could build a dummy and do a spinning head.
Yeah,
oh,
that'd
be awesome.
Oh, you could animate that.
You have like projectile puke again. Have your head spin around.
That's a good
and
one.
Do I have to rub it all over myself last time? I'm like,
no. John, you'll be the priest.
Of course,
you
I love
and William could be the two priests,
and you guys can rape and murder.
It'll be the hippie priest.
Falls down the stairs, the head goes backwards.
I just put on my coat backwards.
You know, back in the day, in the '80s, you remember that Green Man film?
Oh, yeah.
You tumbled down a hill. Can you still do that?
And probably not.
Yeah. You need to fall down a flight of stone stairs.
Oh my goodness! No.
You can do that?
No, that's for a young kid.
Yeah, points at me.
That's a young
man's
game.
I'm like the most
game.
Brittle of the bunch.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, folks out there, it's called Lomo Kino.
Lomo Kino.
And aspiring filmmakers who want to do like a 1920s type movie.
Yeah. Camera's really cheap too, right?
Under $100.
Yeah, I would say go buy it.
Yeah, go
very,
buy it.
Cool.
Easy to use. You can't F it up.
No, you just go to CVS, you can buy a film right there.
Yep.
And what I do, like we shot a little instructional video.
Mm-hmm.
I shot a little Lomo Kino. I ran down.
Wilma!
I ran down to the Target. I dropped off the film.
Yeah.
Came back an hour later. Done.
Yeah. Then started scanning.
Started scanning it. Like
and then
food.
A week later.
Yeah, scanning kind of blows.
Yeah. Scanning process is very intense. But if you're committed to your art, hey, man.
It's worth it.
Hey, yeah, put on the podcast and get scanning.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go back to episode one of AC Podcast and start scanning.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
I got indigestion now, too.
Oh.
From that soda.
I have to pee.
I think we're going to run, not walk, to Lee's Sushi.
Yes.
Lee's Sushi.
Mr. Ree. Want some sushi?
Yeah, we already ate.
So what? Eat again. This is America. Twice. Only eat one dinner.
I want to go to Ringwood and meet you guys at McDonald's.
Dog food burger.
I love.
Yeah, you can come.
Big
Macs.
Did you read about
addicted.
That? Did you read about
pink
that
slime.
Pink slime?
Yeah.
That's
but they stopped that last year. I heard about it on the radio.
I don't know about that.
Well,
Mike, you can come to McDonald's next week because we generally only do it once
a week.
Yeah.
What? So. McDonald's?
I haven't done it in months. It's some kind of addictive property.
Every 2 months.
It's like acid.
He doesn't want to go, but I'm addicted to Big
Macs. It's like once you eat it.
Yeah.
If you eat it like once when you're 17.
They're delicious.
When you're 40.
No,
you
it's in. Yeah, it's in there. Yeah.
Big Macs and French fries.
I love the cheeseburgers.
Coke.
Ugh.
Just the cheeseburgers. No Big Macs. No quarter pounders. None of that shit. Just cheeseburger and fries. I'll go insane.
And bread. It's yep. good.
You know what the key to that is?
No.
To not getting diarrhea and
what's that?
Chew it very thoroughly.
Oh, okay.
Because if you just golf
it,
if you go like,
it doesn't digest.
Your stomach 5 minutes later, you're like,
same year.
We're moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, everybody out. We got to get rid of this stuff.
I had my McDonald's washed away in the flood last year. Seriously.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that's
McDonald's
really
washed
depressing.
Away.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
They only have 1 billion
so
of
sad.
Them or something, right?
Yeah.
This is the closest McDonald's is Ringwood, Joe.
Oh, my God.
And
are you
Route
serious?
3.
No, there's one on 46.
Yeah, Route 3, on the corner of Route 3 and 46. Yeah. That's far.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's what? Isn't there like a Burger King or some?
It's not the
shit
same.
Who cares
about
Burger
King?
King.
It's not.
It's totally different.
It tastes like a real burger. We don't want that.
Yeah.
You want
it's
to
painted
see?
On.
It is painted
it's
on.
Painted on.
Who cares?
The flavor's painted on.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like lead paint.
So what?
I don't
it's
want
good flavor.
A real burger. I want a Big Mac.
Yeah. There's a difference. So.
There is a difference
there
in
is.
The way it tastes.
No, it's true.
So, folks, we've had a lot of fun here. I hope listening to the podcast has been as fun listening as it was for us to record
it's
it.
It's always fun.
And you could write to us. You could really write to us, like real pen to paper, P.O. Box 152, Butler, New Jersey, Alternative Cinema Podcast, or podcast@alternativecinema.com. You know, give us your feedback. Hey, check in. Like, hey, man, what's going on, man? I was thinking about, with the Russ's approval, of course, I'm thinking maybe I can get some, like, 5x7s of, like, the Russ from one of our many awesome photography sessions and be like, if you write a letter, if you send a letter, we read it on the show, you get an autographed 5x7 of the Russ. What do you think?
Aww.
That's great.
That'd be a good
that's
deal, right?
I think.
Totally do that.
And I want to promote film photography, so I'm going to foot the bill for the prints.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, and you get like a little sticker in there. Says,
hey,
like,
now.
Film forever or some shit like that I just made up.
You know, maybe how about a DVD of all the Lomo Kino movies?
Whoa.
We'll do that at the end of the year.
At the end of the year.
When all the spook shows are done.
That'll be great.
Yeah,
you have the horror trilogy or quadruple.
I want to put the spook shows at the beginning of the DVDs.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
You got to make the little AC ad at the end. Or like.
Yeah, tag. We haven't done that yet. We'll tag. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Definitely.
Cool.
So, hey, until next time.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Is this your shitty special? The first Easter rabbit. It says, the film tells the story of Stuffy, the plush rabbit that a little girl receives as a Christmas present. But when the little girl becomes sick with scarlet fever, her possessions have to be burned to disinfect the playroom.
It's
taken from the Velveteen Rabbit. Stuffy is rescued by a fairy who brings him to life and sends him to a place in the North Pole called Easter Valley. 76.
This is some crap. Did you ever see the Velveteen Rabbit?
No, Burl Ives is in it.
Is there a rabbit?
And Robert Morse.
A rabbit with a steel hand?
It doesn't say anything about a steel hand, Mike. I'm sorry. It says, see also, the Easter Bunny is coming to town, or here comes Peter Cottontail.
That's it.
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
What year is that?
71.
That's it. See, I'm too old.
Oh, wow, there's a big synopsis here.
Yeah. Iron-fisted rabbit.
Evil rabbit, yes. Even as Colonel Bunny is preparing to turn the evil rabbit. Oh, here we go. It says, January Q. Irontail, an evil, reclusive rabbit villain who lives in a craggy old tree alone except for his assistant, a bat named Montessori, wants to be Chief Easter Bunny, but only so he can ruin it for children everywhere as revenge for the loss of his tail, which was run over by a small child who roller skated over his fluffy tail, we are told, and replaced with an iron prosthesis. It was his tail, not his hand.
Okay. And he's evil now.
They call him Evil Iron Tail.
He basically takes the place of like the Burgermeister Meister Burger.
Exactly.
Oh, Danny Kaye was in it.
I like the lamp.
It's great, right?
Nice light.
And Vincent Price.
Vincent Price?
Casey Kasem is Peter Cottontail.
What's it called?
Danny Kaye is three roles.
What's the title called?
It's called Here Comes Peter Cottontail. Instead of Here Comes Peter Irontail.
I'm going to check out Peter Rottentail. It's a Bologna Brothers movie. I have to check that out.
Bologna Brothers.
The Bologna. Bologna Brothers.
Bologna.
It sounds like
bologna. I thought that's what he just said.
John's always like astonished, like you've never heard of the Bologna Brothers.
No, I thought you said Bologna, like Bologna. The Bologna Brothers. I'm like, the Bologna Brothers.
That's a whole other genre of bunny movie.
Yeah. Here comes Peter Cottontail.
Yes.
I'm going to check out the Netflix.
1971.
Me too.
What about?
I want to see that.
Banicula? It
appeared on CBS in 2006.
And Watership Down.
Okay,
Watership Down.
Good night.
Good night.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The United States decided to throw a little weight around and,
Who is it?
Mr. Pizza Guy.
Again?
Mr. Pizza Guy, sir.
Pour the double cheese and sausage.
Right here, dude. Here you go, dude.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you are doing?
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
I've been thinking about this, Mr. Han. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. Be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one,